B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Turn your radios up. Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. We broadcast from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. So the question for everybody out there listening and watching on NBC Sports Philly is, you feeling any better? Yesterday, we're feeling very good. Are you feeling any better today? Usually Tuesday, people come back down to earth a little bit, don't react as fervently as they did the day before, the day after the actual game. So I'm curious to take your temperature right now while I discuss the Eagles and the reality of the situation. So, yeah, okay, it was bad on Sunday, and they got a tie out of a team that they should have beat. They didn't get a win yet. They don't have a win on the season. The quarterback has lost his confidence, and there's all kinds of injury problems. So here's the reality of the situation. No matter if you're feeling better or not, I hate to bring it down, but the reality of the situation is that things are not looking up. And we can have every Tuesday from here to Kingdom Come, and things aren't going to be looking up because we have to deal with this whole situation. Now, is it possible that the quarterback plays differently in the next game? Yeah. I don't know how he's going to be able to do that with a lack of skill players. I really don't know how. I can't imagine the Eagles could go to San Francisco and win the game. So that's the reality situation. If they go to San Francisco, don't win the game, now you're 0-3-1, and then you have to come back and play at Pittsburgh, which is going to be no joke. And then you have to play the Ravens, who are licking their wounds. Like, they'll be still licking their wounds while they play the Eagles after what happened last night. So that the reality situation is that this football season, and I'm asked by everybody all over the place, Mike, you think they can come back? I go, how? Like, what? Like, what are we, like, we fooling ourselves here? This looks already, three games in, like a lost football season. I don't know how to explain it any other way. You tell me how this team is going to be able to turn it around. They don't have the resources to turn it around. And you need resources to turn it around. You need resources to say, all right, the way they played the first three games is an aberration. Now we're really going to see the real team. And meanwhile, they're more depleted than ever. And then you count on guys like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Richard Rodgers and Hightower and, oh my God, Quez Watkins is going to come off injury reserve. Seriously? Well, what are we talking about? We're talking about a left tackle who's probably on his last legs. We're talking about a guy who committed a false start playing right next to him in the most important play of the year so far. Tell me, what could possibly happen? One of the other tight ends is gone. He's not going to play this week. I don't know if DeSean Jackson plays. How am I supposed to analyze the Philadelphia Eagles at this point? You know what the biggest non-story or overreaction story I read today was? We'll discuss the COVID situation in a minute. But they might not be able to play a football game this Sunday because of the situation in Tennessee. Right? The Titans and the Steelers. So now I'm supposed to figure out, oh my God, they're going to play Pittsburgh when they have extra rest. They're going to miss the game. They're going to have all this rest by the time they play the Eagles. The Steelers right now could play on a freaking Saturday night till midnight and still beat the Eagles the next day at 1 o'clock. Oh my God, that I didn't even realize that the Steelers don't play. They're going to have all this rest to play against the Eagles. I'm way down. Tyrone, Natalie, tell me what I can do to reverse the reality of a lost football season, and we're not even in October.
Well, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing the team can do either. It's too late for all of that. It's over. It's over. The only reason the Eagles can't just, some people say, oh, tank is because the Giants are so terrible, and they'll beat Washington the next time because Washington's mm-hmm. so terrible. Mm-hmm. Three wins and then a tie is already takes you out of the top pick. It's over, Mike. They stink everywhere.
Okay, let's grasp the last branch that we can see here.
All right.
And the last branch is this division stinks so bad that if they win six, they win six games, they can win the division.
They can't get to six.
You're probably right. But conversely, there's no way Dallas is only going to win six. Right.
Right. Dallas can't. And Dallas can sweep the Eagles. Oh. This is where I'm at now. So the quarterback stinks right now.
Uh-huh.
Let's give him every benefit of the doubt.
Uh-huh.
Let's say he comes out of it and he plays at a Pro Bowl level the rest of the way. Mm-hmm. Who's he throwing to exactly, as you mentioned?
Nobody.
So you take that. I mean, all right. So then the offensive line, because he can't block for himself.
Uh-huh.
Peters, are you going to get any younger?
Yeah.
Pryor is not going to get any better. Sayamalu will be back. We assume he should be back in a few weeks. He'll come back to left guard, but he's not the Pro Bowl guy. It's not like they're getting Brooks back.
Yeah.
So offensive line, not so great. The receivers, we know. Tight end, Richard Rodgers now. Defensive side of the ball. The linebackers, the worst linebacking core literally in all of football. Are they going to get better during the year?
No.
They're not going to. They drafted a guy in the third round, but similar to Jalen Hurts, this is like a red shirt year for him as far as playing defense. So there's no replacements on the way there.
Right.
Maddox is out for at least a game. Mm-hmm. So that means that they're down to only four corners total. And because of previous injuries, there's no one currently on their practice squad they can even bring up to play corner. So that's not great. So it's just slaying a bunch of guys. I guess Mills could get better as he gets more familiar with the position. There's no hope anywhere.
What I'm struggling with, and maybe I don't know if I'm just being, if I'm just, you know, beating a dead horse or harping on things. I still don't understand how they didn't see this coming. What did you think was going to happen? You look at what happened last year with the receivers. It's the same problem. They didn't reinforce the offensive line. It's the same issues that everybody else spotted from a mile away. And they're just going to be like, oh, we didn't know.
Well,
the entire city knew, and the Eagles knew, and they did nothing.
We didn't know either, frankly. We all came into the season buying propaganda that they had added speed at the wide receiver position, which was their biggest problem. We were content with their defensive line. I don't know why, but we all bought in.
The defensive line's been the best unit on the team so far.
Yeah, the defense isn't any good either. No. So, like, we thought the defense was going to be better. So, like, here's the problem now. Like, how do you deal with a non-football season? Like, seriously, we went over to the crest, right? COVID's not going to prevent an NFL season. That's good. At least we'll get to watch NFL football. And now you go, does it matter? I don't know how that's going to play out, but we'll talk about that. Shut up, Siri. All right, so now let me just move to the Phillies, because we're going to have Bob Brooker over there. He wrote the story that Matt Klentak may be back. I'm just going to speak logically here, because the only reason a front office, after a failure like this, should succeed is if you see some kind of progress. And you don't want to make a change to interrupt that progress. Now, I want you to tell me, when you look at the Phillies organization, where is the glimmer of progress that would enable you to keep the regime that you hired to build this thing 5 years ago? Now, forget about the failures on the field this year. Forget about the way they limped out when they only needed to win one game, right? Look at everything else. Look at the trades that were made to fortify the team. Look at the farm system, which couldn't fortify the team. Within that, look at the scouts they hired for that farm system. Within that, look at the coaches who coached those players that they have in the farm system. Beyond that, look at the advanced scouts they sent out there, the scout talent that they could acquire to maybe get in the playoffs. At every rung, there has been a failure. I don't want to sit here and be responsible for a guy losing his job, but I'm not going to be responsible for it. I can comment on it. He'll get another job in baseball. God bless him. I hope his future is somewhere down the line. He's a baseball man. God bless him. But here, it's been a failure. And if they bring him back, it is disastrous and it is disrespectful to this fan base. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. And we'll have Bob Brookover on today. We'll see if there's any late developments. There's whispers that there's going to be some kind of a press conference today. Either it's a press conference that says he's going to be back, or they had a change of heart within one day of that story breaking because they gauged public sentiment and they've decided the right thing to do is just move on. So hold on to that thought, and we'll discuss today anything that breaks. All right. And finally, the COVID situation. The Tennessee Titans and Minnesota Vikings have closed their facilities. The Titans players tested positive for coronavirus. That means they won't be back in the building until Saturday. The NFL right now is saying, okay, even if you can't prepare for the game by having no practice days, we're still going to hold the game. I don't know where this is going, but you know, this cuts a lot of different ways now. 610-620-975. Sal Powell on today also to kind of clean up that situation and to talk about the Eagles. Any lingering thoughts on your mind about this Philadelphia Eagle football team? The Phillies, we're here today for you. 610-620-975. Mike Missinelli Show's back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, it's time for our Twitter poll. In the 2 o'clock hour, of course, we are brought to you by Ferguson HVAC Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors, equipment, parts, supplies for every heating and cooling job. Ferguson has counter locations all around. Bent Salem, King of Prussia, Pensauken, Westchester. You're in that area. Check them out today. The Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. If you need a new mower, zero turn, or other outdoor power equipment, Paul B. Moyer and Sons has it all. Just order online at paulbmoyer.com, or you can give them a call. They have safe contactless pickup at their place in Doylestown, PA. Natalie, today's Twitter poll.
Thanks, Mike. Over 350 votes on this one early. Do the Eagles have the resources to turn this season around? 27% say yes, it can be done. 73% said no, there's not enough.
I would love to speak to the 27% today. If you're a 27%er, give us a call at 610-620-975 because maybe I could learn something. I'd like to know what avenue you're going down to figure it out that there's still hope. I want to know. Seriously. Because I want to. Listen, I want a football season now. I don't have to turn away from a football season. So maybe I'm missing something here. All right. Let's go to the phones. Aaron in King of Prussia. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, how you doing?
What's up, buddy?
I know it's not been a good week, but I had a thought I wanted to run by.
Okay.
When you look at all the bad choices that the Philadelphia teams have made, it kind of dawns on me that it might not be just the choices. It might be the development of the players and the coaching of the players that's not going. Because it's hard to miss on so many picks. And even if you got a so-so player, you got good development, there's nobody coming out of the woodworks, like, okay, we got a prospect, but we worked with him, and he actually turned this thing around and became a good player. So what's the possibility of it just being Philadelphia is not really having any development? And who's in the development of these teams? Do we have specialists?
They have a whole front office that is looking at this. They have a whole coaching staff. You could be right. They could be poorly coached. But you see, when you draft players, you can see their talent. You can see their visible talent, right? And that's why you have to do all your homework on the guy you draft. Now, I don't know about Rager. I don't know if he has talent. I haven't seen enough of him yet. I look at J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and I go, well, I don't see anything there. Do you? Is that the coach's fault, or is it a guy who's just he wasn't drafted properly?
Number one, I believe they're not drafted properly, but I also believe that nobody is, on none of our teams, maybe except for the Flyers, nobody, like, we don't even have anybody in the Philly system that's coming up, or prospects. It's just a depletion all around. So it's like, do we put enough into player development that maybe somebody will come through and shine that we don't even think might shine besides our good players?
The scouts have to be savvy. You have to be able to spot something. And obviously, the guys that they've hired under this regime haven't been able to spot much.
And that's the number one problem, but we have two problems. Everybody knows we got a problem with pick your talent. But the second problem is there also player development? Then I had another point on the Eagles defense too, with Schwartz. It seems as though that little six defense he has, all the teams in the league seem to say, you know what? If we see the six defense, we have a play. And what it involves is pitching out to a player and get a whole bunch of people to block and possibly getting through it. But it's just too predictable when you see that thing. I think so many teams just have a play designed for that six defense that I don't know why he doesn't
play. I agree with you. I agree. Now, if you're looking at that player, talking about that mini screen, Gio Bernard, if you looked, I had to laugh because all three guys that could have made a play on it got blocked out. it was like bowling pins. Boom! There goes Duke Riley. Boom! There goes Mills. Who was the third guy? He ran interference and just wiped those guys out to create that kind of space. Now, if somebody wedges in there and knocks a blocker on his keister and scuttles the play, then that play doesn't go for a first down with the Sticks defense. Somebody got to make a play.
Yeah, but they don't have good players.
No, they that's the whole point. That's the whole point.
And, the defense thing, if I thought this defense was decent, what I could say to you, Mike, is you're saying how they turn around. They're going to run the ball, be conservative, punt, and play great defense and get some turnovers for some short fields.
Uh-huh.
They can't do that. They force zero. Like, let's say you thought that Garoppolo's probably going to be back this week.
Uh-huh.
So Handsome Man drops back and throws three picks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Eagles could win the game. They can't get three picks, and I don't know if they're going to get three picks this season because they barely throw towards Slay. He's the only guy capable of getting one.
Yeah.
It'd be nice if a linebacker might be able to get one across the middle of the field, but these linebackers can't. That's another reason why it's over. The defense can't make things easier on the offense because they stink as well.
Yeah.
This is terrible.
Yeah, it is. So that play, by the way, the Eagles even got a break on that play because the receiver was calling on an illegal touch to play before, right? Yeah. On the sidelines. So they got a break. It made it longer to convert. And it went like this. I wrote it down. Boom. Riley goes down. Boom. Epps was the second guy to go down. Yeah. And then third, Mills got blocked down.
Well, I think Epps is going to lose some playing time with some guys coming back.
Oh, gee. That's going to really hurt him if Epps loses some.
Well, I'm saying Epps out, they can be a better football player.
Seriously?
Yeah, get a little less Epps. But Epps might have to play because they're short at corners, so maybe he doesn't lose playing time. I don't know what's going to happen.
Come on, man. Come on, Eppsy. I can't help it. I'm sorry, man. I'm just flabbergasted. I my mind is clicking from Eagles to the Phillies. And I'm going, I have never seen anything like a regime that's in place for 5 years. And here they are in a playoff spin, and they don't have one guy that their farm system can produce to help them. Not one. Now, you did bring up Bob earlier, but they're going, we need a pitcher. You got one down there? Nah, not really. We'll have the shuttle here. Boom, boom, boom. Do we have an outfielder? Well, we got Kyle Garlick. They don't have a guy better than Kyle Garlick.
You know, that's a great point. When the Yankees had a couple of injuries, I remember I was watching one of the games. I think it was an ESPN game they were on. And they were mentioning, well, they can bring up their top prospect, blah, blah, blah. I don't know all the names off the top of my head. I was thinking, now that Boehm is up and Spencer Howard is up, I mean, we don't know what he is yet, and Sixto's traded, who the hell is their top prospect? Seriously, like right now, who is the Phillies, the top prospect?
The shortstop.
He's the top prospect.
Stott.
He's the top prospect?
Yeah, but see, they brought up Ronald Torreyes. That's who they had to bring. They need an infielder. That's the best they could do. What are you, this regime? I'm sorry. I can't take it anymore. On every level, go down every level, except for the Harper thing, which Middleton had to cinch. There hasn't been one redeeming value of this regime. I'm sorry, I haven't said this until now, but now it's like 5 years worth, and you have to evaluate every little thing. Every little thing. These guys hired people who also failed systematically down the chain, which makes them responsible. Joey in South Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Joey.
Mike, the Eagles organization drastically messed up this team. I mean, there's no way that we keep Carson Wentz next season. What do we do with him moving forward? Because he can't be on this team next year.
Well, you've got to... listen, they may explore a trade in the offseason. I don't know. It all depends on how he plays the rest of the season. Because they're not going to replace him until really late in the season. So if they feel if they've seen enough, then they will foster a trade. And he still has value because then people can look at it like, well, he needs a change of scenery. He's still the same guy that was drafted high who had success early in the league. So they'll be able to get stuff for him.
Right. But my question is, what would we get for him? What could we get for him?
You'll get substantial value for a starting franchise quarterback who's still young.
Okay,
he won't be devalued that much. People look at him and go, well, he did succeed in this league. He just needs to change the scenery.
Right, and I agree with that philosophy. I just think his time here is done. I don't see this team being successful or him being successful here.
Yeah, you're probably right. However, you can't make that decision yet. He's got to have several more games to see like what he's really about, what the organization feels he's all about.
Yeah, I mean, we could wait until week 10, week 9, something like that. It's just, I don't like to hear people say, well, Carson Wentz's bad performance is because of the offensive line. Doug Peterson should run the ball more. Well, if the offensive line is that horrendous, how could Doug Peterson run the ball more?
Well, it's easier to run block than it is to pass block. But I hear your point. See, here's the thing. If he, some spell comes over him, and he wins one of these road games where he looks really good, like he beats either San Francisco or he beats Pittsburgh, well, then you're going to think a little differently about him, right?
Well, not really, because honestly, the big picture for this season is most likely, okay, we're going to watch the Eagles miss the playoffs in large part of Carson Wentz's shortcomings. And the salt in the wound is, we're going to watch Nick Foles most likely take Chicago to the playoffs.
Yeah, I wouldn't get all of it carried away with
that. How's everyone doing?
Yeah, you don't have to. Well, you shouldn't even bring Foles into the equation. It has nothing to do with anything here.
No, it's just salt. It's salt in the wound.
I understand. First of all, he's not going to get him to the playoffs. He's going to falter, and Trubisky's going to get the job back. Right? I'm predicting right here on live radio. But other than that, if Wentz now look. I understand that right now it doesn't look good, and they could be 0-5-1. But the division still can be won with maybe 7 wins. And if you look at the rest of the schedule, can they get 7 wins? Probably not. But if they get close and he plays well, then they'll have a decision to make about whether it's real or it's fake. And then they can make a decision on the offseason, okay, we're going to move him here. Now, they're going to take a cap hit if they move him.
Right. In a perfect world, they would like to have him for this year
and next,
yeah. And then make that move at that point.
Yes.
But
then you run the risk of devaluing him if he has 2 bad years in a row.
Well, I think if he continues to play this bad, if he's the worst quarterback in the NFL, then yeah. You have to work off the assumption that he'll play somewhat better at some point, because he will kill the trade value even this year if he's the worst quarterback in all of the league.
I don't know if he kills it this year.
I really don't.
I think that people can look at this league is quarterback desperate.
Yeah.
So there's always somebody out there that goes, this guy was a high first round draft pick for a reason. He's got skills. We all thought he had skills when he came out. He ran into a slog. For whatever reason it is in Philly, I can fix him. It's only been 1 year and his head's messed up. I can fix him. There's always a team out there. Now, if he has 2 bad years, then people go, well.
Right, but
he's Bobby Hoying.
You're talking about a $21 million cap hit.
True.
This year versus none the following year.
I get you.
So I think that...
Can you suffer through another year with this fan base, like the wolves at the door?
Well, no. At that point, Hurts starts next year, and then you just get rid of Wentz at the end of the year.
Okay, so you
make the transition.
Back up.
Yeah.
And you rehab him by having him not play.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, all right.
And then,
wow.
Then you just move him at that point.
All right. Because, that probably works, too.
Yeah, that's what you end up doing. But that last caller tried to be, he tried to fake like he wasn't Foles here.
Yeah,
and then you caught him. And then you caught him.
Foles has nothing to do with this. All right? I'll keep going over and over and over again. You could not have kept Foles in that kind of a situation. You got to go back to the situation. You could not have kept him. So let's move on. You could have kept him as a backup. You could. It would have been foolish to keep him as a starter. It would have been. Now, it turns out, maybe it was the wrong move. But you didn't have that knowledge at the time. And you can't act on, like, predicting something's going to happen. If Foles is going to be better than a guy that you invested in, a young stud that you had all this capital to draft. You were somewhere going to turn your back on him.
There's absolutely zero indications that, barring any other injuries, that Wentz was going to end up the way that he is right now. Nothing.
And?
Nothing.
And we have to remember that Foles failed in Jacksonville, did not win the job.
Nobody even remembers that for some reason.
And Trubisky, by the way, was 2-0 when they decided to bench him. They're 3-0 right now. Foles had his nice comeback.
Yeah.
Trubisky won the first two games. That team, they're 3-0.
That's why I say this is going to happen.
Yeah.
He's going to eventually run out of magic in Chicago, and then they're going to call him Trubisky again.
Or he'll
going to happen.
The other thing he's never done, because I know we get on Wentz, he's never stayed healthy. So he ends up getting an elbow or a shoulder, and they have to put Trubisky back in because of an inevitable injury.
And he keeps the job with good play.
Yeah, because that's what happened in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
He hurt that collarbone, and then Mustache Man comes in. And the rest was history.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what happened. That happened a lot of places with him so far.
Exactly. All right. Eric in Long Island. What's up, Eric?
You know, Mike, I'm frustrated with this coach. You know, after the Wentz quarterback sneak to give us the first down on the 41-yard line, why did he get conservative there? I mean, it's almost like he was settling for that 58-yard field goal before that false start penalty anyway. The first down play, a carry to Miles Sanders that goes nowhere. Second down, Wentz carry. And then third down, he's throwing a 30-yard pattern down the field to Greg Ward. What happened to picking up 7-8 yards in the middle of the field?
And the same applies to the series before. It was two straight series where the only thing you should be thinking about is getting field goal range. He doesn't have the medium play that could, all right, I get 5 here, I get 6 here. He doesn't have that in his head. I don't know why.
Right. It should never have come down to a 4th and 12 or a 64-yard field goal and having that decision. He should have picked up 7 or 8 yards, kicked the field goal, we all go home happy. Now, exactly. as far as the outlook goes, Mike, there is no hope. What hope is there? This defense can't stop anybody. The linebackers can't cover. Outside of Darius Slay, it's a revolving door corner on the other side. Jalen Mills and Ronnie McLeod don't make enough plays. All right, they don't force any turnovers. Like you guys said, the defense doesn't help them out. Here we are. We're in a situation with the wide receivers where we were at the last 4 games of last season when Wentz had nobody to throw the ball to. And now we have a quarterback who's shot, whose confidence is broken, and it looks lost out there. So, and the fact that we've already played the Bengals and the Redskins, where Dallas hasn't even played those teams yet. Mike, if I would have said to you at the beginning of the season, the first 3 games, there's a better chance the Eagles being 3-0 than 0-2-1. You probably would have agreed based on their schedule. The fact that we came out of these 3 games with no wins and we have the toughest schedule in football the rest of the way, I mean, we're lucky we get 4 wins. And guess what? The future stinks. There is no future right now. I don't know what to get excited about for next year.
Yeah, I was trying to hide that fact that they have the toughest remaining schedule. So. I'm groping. I'm groping for something here, man. I can't imagine that you have to face the prospect of your NFL football season being over, and it's not October. Yeah, you know, and the baseball team could have gotten the playoffs. At least give us another week.
Yep.
You know? So, I go home now, and I'm looking. I want to put on a Phillies game.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have our tomorrow.
It was a routine every day. Yeah. Right there you have a little dinner, boom, pop the Phils on, right?
They need to go 2-6 the last 8, and they went 1-7. Eflin got the only win.
Yeah.
They started Velasquez in a must-win game. Well, at the time they thought was, and Velasquez had to be the starter in what they thought was a must-win, and he gave them the best chance to win the weekend. They got shut out on the last day of the year, Mike.
Yeah, they did.
When all the other teams were losing, they got shut out the last game. And I'm supposed to just be comfortable with people coming back? People should be very uncomfortable in that building. Very uncomfortable in that building.
The manager this regime hired didn't even make a difference. Think about that. right?
Yes.
They couldn't even come up big with that in the 1 year. Now, I don't know what's going to happen later with Joe Girardi, but they hired him to, seven-game improvement over Kaplan. They go to a god's out of it.
None. Mike, so let's say you're Carson Wentz right now. Mm-hmm. You're Carson Wentz. And let's say that internally he knows he's been terrible. So let's like fast forward past that. But he sees the road ahead of him. And he sees who he's throwing to and all that stuff. What would be going through your mind if you were to start a quarterback of this team, knowing you got San Fran and the Steelers and the Ravens, and knowing that you don't have Goddard? Like, what would be going through your mind, knowing that the city's all over you for good reason? You deserve it. What would be going through your mind under his circumstances?
Me,
right?
I would be neurotic. But I don't think he is.
Okay.
Because I think he's guided by a different force.
Yeah.
He's guided by a certain peace where it doesn't matter to him as much as his faith.
Well, so...
Which is probably correct.
Which is probably...
Correct.
Listen, I admire people with faith. As I've said before, I would... But that's in a situation maybe where it hurts a competitor.
Well, Tyrone and I actually talked about this a little bit yesterday. I said, I guess he's not really feeling that sense of urgency that, yes, you could be a person of faith, but you also need to, you know, take control and stand up for yourself and not let you become.
Yeah. But it's like he's guided by a peace within. You know, it's like he's trained not to hate himself, but to love himself.
Right, but I feel like loving yourself would be like demanding.
Trying to hate myself.
Right.
Right. See, Bob, like I had the exact opposite reaction. Like I'd be unsettled every moment.
Right.
Knowing that the wolves are at my door.
Interesting. Okay.
But he's guided by a different channel.
Right. Okay. I was just saying, I don't know, maybe he feels like he would be a bad person or not like loving if he were to, you know, kind of start to demand things or hold other people accountable around him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's a good point, because I can tell you, I know for a fact that Peyton Manning and other quarterbacks, before they won a Super Bowl, used to talk about the weapons that they threw to and stuff like that. Like that was... They weren't the GM. They weren't picking a player, but it was kind of known, like, I'm going to need somebody.
This is who I want, and this is what I want to do.
This is what I want.
Yeah.
And he doesn't do any of that. Not that the Eagles would listen, because they obviously moved past it.
Yeah.
I just think that beyond that press conference was an example of a disconnect that goes beyond just his play.
I can't wait to hear what he has to say tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm the wrong person to ask that question, because I'm the greatest cursor at myself ever.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like I was a bat rack idiot.
Right. And not everybody.
I would be that.
Yeah. But
how do I miss that pitch? And I go, you know, and I go, next time I'm not missing that pitch. But he's got it by a different force.
Right. But there have been other Christian men that have succeeded in sports.
Well, they've been successful though. So like I'm sure they've struggled in the past, but
Foles has had
the great Christian quarterbacks of all time.
Steve Young's the greatest.
But Roger Staubach is right up there as far. But you're talking about those guys had always succeeded.
Nah, Young didn't always succeed.
He did.
Coming from the USFL,
behind Montana. He couldn't have a chance to succeed. Once he got the job, he succeeded right away.
Right, but sitting back had to put a hard callus on him. And I wonder if this, I tell you what, if this doesn't callous him, nothing will, because this is as bad as it gets. I'm just wondering at what point, if any, does he flip a switch, not with his play.
Yeah.
I'm talking about with his attitude to fit this city. I think he needs to do something to get people on his side other than just play, because there's a lot of people, I think, that are out on him. They'll cheer for him if he plays better, but they're not going to put their arms
and again,
around.
And again, it's okay for him to advocate for himself. He's on such thin ice here. At how many? 3 games in.
Yeah, but look at his demeanor. Like he did the equivalent of striking out on a curveball that was a fat curveball at a hanger, right? By throwing that bad pass that got interception.
He threw his helmet down.
Yeah, but he explained it afterwards by going, well, you make some, or missing Sanders on the NFL.
Yeah.
Well, you miss some throws. And I go, no, that's not, like, you should hate yourself for missing that throw.
Yeah, that's not
and that juice, you know, because then the next time that throw comes around again, there's no way I'm missing that throw.
He could like suppress the anger, which is not good.
I don't know. Is he like an anger guy ever? He gets angry.
Yeah, yeah.
My theory is that
he stays angry.
Yeah, no. My theory is that he feels bad about getting angry.
Maybe, but like he goes home at night and the wife greets him with a gingham skirt and makes roast beef and potatoes.
She does. You know? Gingham.
I don't know. 610-632. And goes like this with a bow in her hair. I don't know. You know what? I'm making a point. 610-632-0975 back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
2:46, Mike Missinelli Show. 97.5 The Fanatic. You know, tonight is the big debate, presidential debate, and I think it's the New York Post came out with a presidential debate bingo.
Oh, is it a drinking game or just bingo?
It's just bingo. Some things that'll be said.
Okay.
So in a 3 o'clock hour, I'll ask you like, what do you think's on the bingo card?
Okay. That'll be fun.
Guys. Yeah. Also, I have some information here on, this is in Tyrone's category here. Danica Patrick. Two things, actually. Last night, Patrick Mahomes' fiance Instagrammed her flipping the big bird for her husband, her fiance's haters. How you feel about that?
Oh, I'm fine with that.
You okay with that?
Yeah.
Brittany Matthews, is that her name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, they've been together since high school. Yeah.
I think like eighth grade.
Yeah, so.
Girl's got a really long middle finger, too. Have you seen a picture?
Let me see. No,
God.
Let me see.
It's like a breadstick.
She's tall, isn't she?
Is she tall?
Yeah.
All right. This is for Tyrone. Danica Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
Recent appearance on the Rachel Hollis show. I don't know who that is.
Me neither.
She says that following her split from Aaron Rodgers, here's her quote. Well, the next guy has his work cut out for him because my intuition, my standards, my boundaries, my wants and needs are off the chart. I've gotten to know me so much more. I think it's going to be so much more narrow and specific. Your thoughts on Danica?
All right, well,
Oh, good for you.
Wait, what was the first part?
She said, the next guy has his work cut out for him because my intuition, my standards, my boundaries, and my wants and needs are off the chart.
Now, hold on. See, this is where... Because she's talking about this in a public forum. She could be private.
She's warning. She's warning the male population.
Right. She's choosing not to be private about this. So that means she was married when she first started the race car career. Then she dated long-term that Ricky Stenhouse Jr. He's a NASCAR driver. Mm-hmm. Then the Aaron Rodgers. So she's had three sort of public relationships.
Right.
At this point.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, I stopped thinking that the issue is all of them. And I take the turn and say, maybe what you should do is just look at yourself.
Well, I mean,
Danica.
I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm just saying, she's advertising herself, and
right.
You better have your I's dotted and your T's crossed. You're going to get involved with Danica.
You're rich already, Danica. So, like, I know you're rich. So, therefore, obviously, someone like, I'm sure the guy that's flipping the fries, you know, open the fry tray is not going to be the one going after her. So, like, I get the circle that she rolls in. I'm saying that when these things happen, she should be talking about some of the self-reflection that she's done.
Not
about what other men need to do.
Well, it sounds like she's just looking for more of, like, an emotional connection.
I didn't hear that.
Well, as a woman, I'm saying that's what I'm getting from this, is that she's looking, because she said it's... much more narrow and specific, so she's just looking for more emotional support.
You think this proclamation eliminates Lugnut Boy from getting involved?
Lugnut Boy?
Yeah, like some average pit lugnut.
Well, she doesn't drive anymore. Dude.
Yeah, no.
She does yoga and podcasts.
She's in the circles. I'm sure those lugnut guys had a crush on her.
No, I mean, if she tells one of the lugnut guys what she's looking for, and he steps up to the plate.
The fuel pump guy.
Fuel injector.
The fuel injector guys.
That guy never had a shot. That guy still had a shot. No, and he still
does. They all had a crush. Well, now she broke up with Aaron. Maybe she wants a regular guy.
I think this is the thing that Natalie's been the most wrong on ever. That she said, oh, I'm looking for an emotional.
She
believe
is.
That.
I'm reading her words.
She's looking for somebody to kiss Danica's feet.
Exactly.
Come on, Natalie.
She's not looking for. Dude,
the next guy has his work cut out for him. What is she looking for?
Yes, that's what she's looking for. That's what I'm saying. That's like what.
In other words, you got to meet my standards all the way or you're out.
Right. That's
kind
not,
of.
Yeah, so yeah, that'll be some kind, sweet, meek guy. No.
That's not what I'm not saying it in a bad way. It just sounds like she's really setting some boundaries with what she wants for herself.
Has she said, I'm looking for a deeper emotional attachment, which I think a woman is capable of saying, I would believe it. What I believe is her process previous to picking guys might not be the best process.
Right.
And now maybe she'll do a better job picking.
That's what I mean. It sounds like emotionally she's trying to hone in on somebody who's not, maybe not as, because Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. He's out there.
Hey, Danica, how about we go out and talk quantum physics? Oh, you don't know quantum physics? Oh, you're not at my standards. Bang, you're out.
Right. Right.
How about that? How about throw that back at her?
What?
She needs to be looking at herself.
What the hell she thinks she is?
Right.
she made left turns for her. She's got some courage. She gripped the steering wheel.
She knows physics,
so
probably.
She's the first lady?
Right. Like, all of a sudden, wait, hold on, Danica. I need a PhD date you?
She
like, come on, Danica.
That's the challenge with a relationship. She's gotten to know herself so much more.
Yeah,
she knows what she wants now.
See her go out with a guy like Chuck from North Carolina.
I don't think she's
she likes that.
Climbing out from under a house.
Right, with crickets.
That's right. Crickets
camel
all
crickets.
Over. Camel crickets all over them.
Camel crickets.
Date that.
Yeah, now, right. Show me something.
I'm a Danica fan, but this kind of thing has me moving away from her. And Natalie's co-signing of it makes me move away from her.
No, I'm not.
That means she probably has some things that women, some weird things that
no, I'm interpreting. I'm interpreting her. I'm interpreting her statement as I see it. And I think that that's what she's what she means.
Well, she says she's got a checklist. But let me tell you, Danica, no checklist is longer than mine, girl. All right? How's that?
That might be true.
Correct.
610-632-0975. Your checklist, I laugh at. 3 o'clock hours ahead, Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
3 o'clock hour, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly, 3 o'clock hour, brought to us by Corpley's Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie, hoagie, party trays, every bit is good. The lingering Eagles thoughts that you have, while acknowledging the reality of the situation, that this football season could be over before we reach October. I don't know how you feel about that. I feel gutted by that. And by the way, the baseball playoffs start tonight, and there's no team in red pinstripes. The Fanatic is his mascot. So so we have to have Bob Brookover on today at 4 o'clock for the Inquirer. He's the one who wrote the story, who said, according to some sources, Klentak might be back. There's been no activity yet in the front office, no stir. There could be a couple of things at work here. Number one is that he, Middleton, wants to have the firm successor in place in his head. Now, he'd be a damn fool if he wasn't compiling a list all year long. So, I would already have had that decision made. You have to plan for the contingency that you might have to fire your front office. And so you got to make a checklist in your head. And if he hasn't done that yet, he's delinquent as an owner. The other thing is that maybe he's deliberating And he's testing the waters on public opinion. I think he's got enough public opinion now. But he's testing the waters like he did with Kapler, where he let Kapler dangle for a little while, and Klentak fought for him. There, McPhail may be fighting for Klentak. And see, both of them are out for as far as I'm concerned. Like, I can't believe he would keep McPhail, and he's convincing McPhail to fire Klentak. Is that possible?
It's possible. It's possible because McPhail does a lot of the money stuff. And if he feels like he's doing a good job with the money, then he's going to back him, even if things are bad. If he's doing good with the bottom line, I mean, COVID separately, I mean, about the layoff. Mm-hmm. They're about to lay off the whole staff. So
yeah.
But let's say, then I think it's a possibility.
All right. And, of course, the other possibility is he will stay as the general manager. And to that I say, listen, man, I'm trying to be fair here. I'm going down a checklist of things that were a complete failure, and every part of the organization this year was a failure. On field, trades, farm system, advanced scouts, coaches in the minor leagues, scouts drafting players, writing recommendations on players. Everything was a failure. If you don't have anybody better than Mickey Moniak to bring it, to fortify your outfield when you desperately need an outfielder, or this continuing jitney of relief pitchers that came up and down, then that's all I need to know. It's an indictment. You didn't do a good enough job. Sorry.
If I'm the owner, I'm looking at the Oakland A's, for example, who never really spend money. That owner's actually very cheap out there. They don't spend money. They don't have a good stadium. They never sign a free agent. They make the playoffs way more than the Phillies do, and they made it again this year. What are they doing? I would want to know, because I have money. I gave you the sixth highest payroll. I would go to them and say, what didn't I provide for you that the owner in Oakland provided for their for that GM? Because they're in the playoffs spending $5, and I gave you the sixth highest payroll, and I'm sitting at home with nothing. And if he couldn't give me a good answer, and there is no good answer, then I have to make a decision based on that.
It's like today, he should be inviting Matt Klentak in the office. The Mets on that. I like it a lot. We tried to do something here. It just didn't work. So we got to let you go. Now, feel free to take one of those coconut dum-dums on your way out, but you got to go. You know,
that's a violation.
From the candy dish over to you. They got mango over there. Whatever you, pineapple, whatever you want. Those little dum-dums, take one.
You don't have one for
the delightful.
Take a few for the kids, too, while you're at it. But you got to go.
Pocketful.
Exactly.
Yeah, pocketful of dum-dums.
Hey, Stacey, do you have some blow pops for them, too, to take to the kids? Blow pops. We have
green apple.
You know, the
with
best
the bubble
one.
Gum.
Everybody loves those.
Cherry.
Middleton's not a blow pop, man.
There's got to be with a blow pop in the office with money.
You think he's a dum-dums guy?
He's more of a dum-dum guy.
Yeah.
All right,
I'll get him a Philly blunt, too, on the way. I hate to remember your time here. It's a pack of Philly blunts. There you go, buddy. Whatever you do with him is your business.
Gene in Doylestown, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Gene.
How you doing today, Michael?
What's up, Gene?
I was watching the football game last night when it dawned on me. And, again, I haven't played one down of quarterback in the NFL. But I can see our quarterback's playing with zero confidence. I mean, I watched these two young men last night. They want the ball. They want it in their hands. They feel like they're their best chance to win the game. And, you know, I listen to Carson. I look at Carson, and I don't see that same young man that came into the league five years ago. I don't know where his confidence went or what happened to it, whether it was injury that got him. I don't know, but... And again, I don't know how to offer to get it back, but to me, that's the biggest glaring thing he's got going on right now is he's playing with zero confidence in himself, in the line in front of him, and the coach calling the plays. There's just nothing there. And
that's terribly problematic because that's saying he can't get past that. And now... Listen, it's tough, don't get me wrong, but when you're a quarterback, that's what the landscape is, man. It's the hottest plate on the field. If you can't overcome it, well, then, you know, you're not really worth that much.
Agreed wholeheartedly. I got to admit, I was one of these guys. I thought he was the answer. I thought he was our franchise quarterback. And like I said, I don't know what happened or where it went. But I'm not looking at the same guy.
There are a lot of theories on it, right? And one of the theories is that he he's so squeezed because he knows he has to perform, and Yana's got this hurt specter like behind him and all that. And I go, well, if that's going to affect him, then I don't want him anyway. Like, if he's going to let that affect him, they didn't do him any favors by doing that. But if I'm a real competitor, I go, well, that shouldn't matter. I'm the better quarterback, you know?
Exactly. And like you said, it's all part, that's part of the makeup of the most successful quarterbacks that have ever played the game. They're all the same type of guy. There's, you know, they throw three picks and they can't wait to get out and throw another pick. You know, I mean, it's just, like I said, I don't know what happened to him or where it went, but he's not the same guy that came into the league, and I don't know how to offer him the fiction. Yeah. And it's just sad because, like you said, here we are 3 weeks in.
Yeah, is there any possibility, there's got to be a possibility, that he wins one of those next two games by playing like an all-world game? I know it's not likely because of the weapons. Now, if he had full complement of weapons, I could believe that more than not now. But still, you never know what could happen. Like, he could shoot down, let's just say not next week, but he goes to Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Alshon plays.
There you go. Yeah, Alshon's probably back by then. Yeah. No, he is back by then.
All of a sudden, he throws for 315 yards and a couple of touchdowns, and and that gets him back somehow.
You know what? Here's why I don't rule it out completely. Even though I think his time in Philadelphia is done, and I still stand by what I said yesterday. Here's why: he started running a little bit and doing some of that Carson stuff that he wants to, that they've told him not to do.
Yeah,
because of the lack of weapons. At this point, there's no way the coaches can really put, yes, he might get hurt, maybe he won't last, but at this point, you're trying to save your season. He has to start playing, unfortunately, with a little bit of that reckless abandon outside the pocket. In the pocket, still get rid of the ball. He actually threw it away a couple times in the game, which that was the most I've ever seen him do it, actually, last game.
Because
he threw it away like twice all last season.
Right.
He did it like more than once in a game.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if he starts moving around, you get the broken play touchdown, the accidental thing. That is the one thing about a fast guy. Maybe Hightower lucks into one. He scrambles around for 5 seconds. He finds him. Hightower outruns a guy.
Yeah.
Not a great Chris Rowell. He just fast.
Yeah.
Maybe. And then you win one of the next two, you do look at the season a little bit differently. And the fact that the Saints look like they might stink.
I'm trying to twist my way.
You're saying find a way.
Yeah, I not think it's going to happen this week, but at Pittsburgh.
At Pittsburgh would be the time.
They win, and he looks good. And he stays off the Wolves for just the time being, and somehow that clicks his confidence back. I don't know.
Maybe. That makes the locker room start to support him. Look at the plays Carson made. They start patting him on the back. We love you again.
Yeah.
Maybe. Or the snitch comes back and says, hey, guys, I haven't been perfect. I've done some terrible things to this man. But I want to tell you that this man is my quarterback, and he's going to lead us the whole way. That would be nice for Alshon to do before he suits up for Pittsburgh.
There you go.
This is my quarterback. Do a little TO. Then after the game on the Zoom, he cries on the Zoom, even if it's fake tears.
I'm sold.
We go to Sixers games together. We're good friends.
Great.
That's my quarterback. Even though I backstab him, he always forgave me. And boom, saved the season.
All right. Let's go to Phoenix. Mitch. Oh, what's up, Mitch?
Hey, Michael.
God, Mitch.
I didn't appreciate that, man.
Yeah, that wasn't heard by the audience. It was just on our phone.
You laugh all you want. You know I know my stuff. When I talk, people listen.
Yeah.
Okay? Huh? Now, let me ask you this. Age-old question, Mr. Mike.
Yes, sir.
Do the fans really care about what the players think of them?
Do the fans really care what the players think of them? Yeah, the fans are thin-skinned.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. The fans are thin-skinned. Of course they care. They care. Well, if a player rips a fan base, you're telling me that fan base doesn't care? I mean, they go crazy when that happens.
But what is your point here?
What's the point? Is there a specific point with this?
My point is, you're a funny guy. You ask a question and you don't give the guy a chance.
I'm giving you now. Go.
You're all trying to figure out what's wrong with Wentz, what's wrong with the Eagles. The bottom line is, They don't care. They're all rich. It doesn't matter to them.
Yeah, part of that is true, but you asked me a specific question. Do players, the fans care what the players think of them? Yeah, fans do care. They might be misguided, but they care if somebody's going to take a shot at the fan base. You're not connecting the points for me here.
Well, like my wife said to me, like I get all worked up when I'm watching a game. She says, what do you care? Those guys don't know you. They don't care about you. They're all rich.
You sound like Sonny in the Bronx Tale. Now, you know,
I am Sonny. I am Sonny.
All right. Nice. There's a lot of anti-Mitch sentiment on social media that we should ban Mitch.
He should be banned. He's horrendous.
Banned.
Like, he's terrible. He should be on last. Look what he just gave you just now.
He gave you nothing.
He gave you nothing. So many callers give us so much.
Yeah.
Like the voice twins. When
who?
They call it Keith and what you call it. They got the same voice.
Oh, yeah, Keith and
and Mike from Creekside.
Oh,
voice twins. Keith, we get
Keith,
tons.
Keith in Delaware and Mike from Creekside.
We got great callers. Aaron in Norristown. Well,
not your favorite. You would hit the boo button on him, too.
I will. He's on hold. But so many give us help, and then we get that.
All right, let's go to Downingtown. Steve, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve.
Hey, Mike. Good show.
What's up, Steve?
Yeah, you know, it amazes me when Peterson gets up there on that news conference and he says, well, Wentz is overthinking too much and we just got to maybe go into like a hurry up offense or no huddle to let him just, you know, to get that rhythm, you know. And I just think to myself, man, what's it going to be like if he's not thinking? It's going to be, you know, it's just going to be terrible to watch. You know,
well, I don't know. I think the idea behind that is to just unleash him from, like, just keep a simpler game plan where he could, like, that focuses on the thing he does best rather than go overly complicated where he has to look for four receivers on a 7-step drop or something. I think that's what he's saying.
Yeah, but at this point, I don't think he even knows what he does best, you know. He's just so confused. I see him when he throws an interception or a bad throw, and then he comes off the field and goes over there and sits on that bench and sticks that pad in his face. That reminds me of, like, Baby Huey. That's what I picture him as. I'm thinking this guy's looking just like Baby Huey. Big, dumb, you know, pouting, you know.
Where did Baby Huey go with Microsoft Pro? What's the parallel with Baby Huey? I don't get that part of it.
It's like a doofus look.
Oh, it's a doofus look.
Baby Huey
was the doofus looking guy.
Yeah, and that's what I see him as. You know, after he makes them bad plays, you know, he just can't shake it off and say, come on, let's go.
That's an old school cartoon reference, by the way, Baby Huey.
Yeah, but then anyway, you know, now we got this 34-year-old that I'm so sick of hearing Barry Brooks talking about going to take the top off. You know, he's so fast and so speed, got much speed.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, he got first come back to the team with a bad hamstring.
Uh-huh.
Then he pulled the groin. Now he pulled the hamstring again. When they finally realize, hey, this guy's done. This is just it, you know.
Yeah.
He ain't got the speed that they're looking for. They talk, and he gets me so upset when I hear that Barrett Brooks saying, you know, oh, he's going to take the top off. He's lightning. This is that. He ain't going to do nothing but get hurt.
You know? All right, Steve. I could get past Baby Huey with Steve. Baby Huey was a duckling, right?
He was just a big duckling, right?
Baby. Yeah. It was a baby. It was like an overgrown baby.
Yeah, he's cute, Baby Huey.
He wore
cute.
A diaper and waddled around. He looked. He was naive.
Yeah, didn't he have like a speech thing?
I don't know. I don't know what his hook was. Did he like? Were fox trying to eat him or something? Like,
yeah.
Like he was too stupid to even know that a fox was trying to eat him.
I think so.
I don't know.
You remember Baby Huey?
I mean, I remember the cat. I don't remember watching much.
Yeah,
I thought it made a bit of a return during like the Animaniacs era.
Yes.
I think there was some Baby Huey during that era.
I don't remember what his hook was. Like what? I didn't see a lot of Baby Huey, so I don't know. I knew he was kind of like a baby duckling with words.
He had a cameo in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and he did have a little bit of a resurgence around the Animaniacs.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't know
what the storyline behind Baby Huey was.
I don't know the connection that the caller was making.
He has a big dumb look on his face.
Like, that's what he's trying to say. Baby Huey always had a dumb look on his face, like a naive Dodie Doe face. That's what he was trying to say.
That's not nice.
I mean, I feel like there's so many, well, whatever.
Yeah, Keith in Harrisburg. Keith, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Keith.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, Keith?
Not much. I thought it was I've been kind of wanting to call a little bit about this for a while now, and I just kind of thought today was kind of fitting with the team now having Tennessee having the COVID players.
Yeah.
I feel like some of this is pretty predictable. I mean, we started out pretty strong with the free agency. We signed Slay. And we traded for Slay, and then we picked up Hargrave. Things looked good. Mm-hmm. Then COVID happened, and our draft, I believe that the front office from that point on went on to feel like as if there wasn't going to be an NFL season this year. And furthermore, I think they didn't think there was going to be a college season. And I think that's one of the reasons they went with Jalen Hurts. And I believe that their preparation has been lacking all year in the preseason. I don't think that they're never prepared in the beginning of the season anyway. But I think it's even worse this year.
So wait a minute. Let me get this straight. You're saying that a professional sports organization, presuming that there was going to be no school, did not study for the test?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like malpractice. That would never happen.
I mean, I'm saying that it does make sense that we would keep receivers like Deshaun, and which basically instead of cutting them and giving them the money anyway, we're just going to keep these receivers like Deshaun and Jeffrey and just let ride them out.
Well, but there's a financial reason that they just couldn't cut them.
You
can't just throw away money. I do believe the Jeffrey thing is one thing. Deshaun Jackson, they thought he was really going to help him. Now, that may have been misguided because he's an older guy, and the older guys that rely on speed are going to get injured. So yeah. That was foolish. But then they backed it up with drafting three wide receivers that they thought were good enough to play. One got hurt. The other two, you know, probably aren't ready to play.
Yeah, no, I think they did prepare as if like they were gonna. That's what I mean. I mean, once Deshaun, who is gone at the end of this year for sure, and Jeffrey's gone, now we have those three receivers that you just talked about. We drafted as if you know. So if there wasn't a season, they would have been gone anyway, and we would have been starting fresh. I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't think that they didn't think it was going to be a football season and they just shirked their responsibilities. I think they made incompetent decisions. 610-620-9975. All right, let me start debate bingo with you two because I have two cards in front of me.
Okay.
All right, debate bingo. Natalie, I'll give you card number one. Tyrone, you have card number two. Now, these are topics or phrases that are going to come up tonight.
Okay.
Or words or, you know, places that are going to come up. So you just have, you have to use your brain to go all over the place with this one. Natalie, I give you the first card, debate bingo. What do you think is what is on?
Fake?
Fake news?
Yes.
Fake news is absolutely on. You get a G.
Nice.
All right, there you go.
Try to write this down.
You got a G. I'll keep it.
Okay.
You got a G. Okay. All right, Tyrone.
Antifa.
Antifa. Bang. That. Well, wait. Sorry, that is not on your card.
Well, actually, I'm supposed to guess what's on my.
All right, we'll give it to you.
I'm sure.
Anything
Antifa's
that's on
good.
Both these cards.
Okay, all right,
first
fair.
One. First one to bingo. So you get an N.
All right.
All right, so Tyrone has an N, Nat has a G. It'll be the first one to spell bingo.
All right, I'm going to... am I guessing another one?
Now it's time for a break, Nat.
Okay.
Hold on.
We're gonna play bingo.
We're going to play this the rest of the show. 610-632-0975. Coming up at 4 o'clock. Don't forget, Bob Brooko wrote the story that Klentak may be back. And at Sal Pal 515, Mike Missinelli Show continues.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, let's get a Twitter poll updated. 3:30 on the Mike Missinelli Show. Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Natalie?
Thanks, Mike. Today's poll, over 500 votes on this one so far. Do the Eagles have the resources to turn this season around? 25% say yes, it can be done. 75% say no, there's not
25%.
Enough.
I love that there's 25%. That's down from original reading. But I really would love to converse or conversate with one of those 25%.
So the Eagles,
see what I'm not.
Tim McManus just put something out that the Eagles, they signed tight end Hakeem Butler off of Carolina's practice squad because they put Dallas Goedert on the IR.
Yeah, tight end.
He's also a wide receiver.
Oh, that's good. He's a combo.
Well, he was a wide receiver in college.
And he was
on the practice squad because they were converting him to tight end, and obviously the concepts are different with the blocking, but apparently he does have some talent.
Like that thief in Matt Rhule.
That's right.
No. Where'd they get him from?
Carolina.
Carolina.
Oh, they got him from Carolina? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's smart then.
Thief in Matt Rhule.
Rhule knows what he's doing.
Yeah, he does.
Thought they could hide him while he learns.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about during the break. Like, if I could come back in time, like, if I turn back time, like, I would be the elf, the baseball elf on Matt Klentak's shoulder. And here's how this would play out. I'd be the guy that vetoes a bad thought.
Okay. So you'd be like his baseball conscience.
Right.
All right.
Let's go down some.
I'll give you one. So, right.
Let me start with the draft picks.
All right.
All right. So let's go with. Let's go to Haisley, your boy.
Okay.
Now, you know what I've always thought about Haisley?
Yeah. Fourth outfielder.
Fourth outfielder, corner outfielder with no pop. I can't take him 8. So, what do you think? We're taking Haisley. No, not at 8. Take a power arm. You do yourself better than a fourth outfielder. Like, these are the things you got to know, right? Moniak, number one. We're going to take Mickey Moniak, number one. Matt, the kid's 145 pounds soaking wet. You're going to have to hope he turns into something physical before you even measure his ability. No. Take a power arm.
Well, you're just telling him to take a power arm every year.
I can't do better than a power arm in both those situations. If Haisley's the best player I have on the board, and he can only be a fourth outfielder, any power arm is better. If Mickey Moniak's 145 pounds, and you have no idea physically what he is, and any power arm, and number one, too, you're going to get a power arm. You're going to get 97. In both those situations, you're going to be able to get a pitcher that throws 97. Now, I'll worry about the outfield in the second round, third round, or even the following year. But at this point, that's the best I can do. I'd be the elf saying no. It's like Billy Bean in Moneyball. When they're discussing who do they want to acquire if they're going to trade somebody. Jonah Hill throws out a name and he goes, 26, double A? Nah. You know, you got to make decisions like that. Like the Segura. We got a chance to get Gene Segura. I'm the elf. Four teams, something wrong with the guy. Now, let's fast forward to the last game of the year. Now, I've been saying all year he's a losing player. Last game of the year, you see what he did?
He didn't
run at the second leg of the double play?
Double play, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the kind of, No. Four teams. That's a red flag for me, Matt. Don't go. Don't go there. Now, the only guy that I would have been wrong on, because of the circumstances, I probably would have sanctioned Scott Kingery. Because I see a guy in the minor leagues, it's second base. It's not really a crazy offensive position, but this kid's got a little pop. He can give me 20 home runs. All right. And the other guy's not a winning player either. I put Hernandez in that same Segura category years ago.
Right.
Not a winning player. So that confluence of factors. All right. I probably would have said yes to Kingery.
Well, but you would have had this. The other thing though, when you took your international slot money, You would have had the guy they signed, Ortiz, Vlad Jr., Tatis Jr.
Yeah.
I would like to think that you would have said, take one of the juniors and not Ortiz, who's Jalen Ortiz. I think you would have said, hey, for less money, see, for even less money than you give this kid, you can get Tatis Jr., and now you have a star.
And also, they disregard horse DNA.
What do you mean?
The concept of horse DNA. Bichette.
Oh, yeah.
Biggio. Tatis. Yeah. That horse DNA doesn't apply to them.
Right. They don't.
Exactly. So all that stuff is like, I'm the elf.
It would,
and you wouldn't have to put up with the Moniacs and the Hazleys. I got guaranteed you.
Hazley just helps the team, but I hear you about Moniac.
He's eighth pick in the draft, Tyrone. Eighth pick. That's the best you get out of the eighth pick in the draft? So
he got to the
power
majors fast.
Power arm in that slot.
I think that's why
I'm the baseball elf on the shoulder.
Yeah, I also think the managers really messed it up because he didn't do a good job managing the outfield this year.
You got to get off of him. You got to get off your boy.
Not until he does something bad.
He's a corner outfielder with no pop.
He's a center fielder.
It's an outdated guy. He's not a center fielder. When they drafted him, they knew he was a corner outfielder. He's not a center fielder. They put him in there by default.
It's the best one they got.
But it's not good enough. That's the point. So if he's only a corner outfielder with no pop, what is he at the pick eight? Well, that's a third round pick that can do that for you.
Yeah, you don't need. He has to hit for pop if you're playing him in the corner.
Exactly.
You got to play in center from it.
All right, let's go to Aaron in Norristown. Aaron, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Aaron.
How are you doing today?
What's up, Aaron?
It's very upsetting.
What's going on? Hey, Stanley Cup Finals, believe it or not, are over.
I can't believe it.
It was leapt upon us. I didn't even realize it until last night.
It was great. Well, Dallas doesn't have firepower. Tampa Bay was going to win that.
What am I going to do the rest of the year without hockey?
I don't know how you're going to do it, Michael.
Okay.
So, Carson Wentz is the reason. You want positivity. He is the reason why they've lost two of the three games. I'm going to explain to you real quickly. I'm going to ask you a question. If he doesn't throw those two picks against Washington and he doesn't miss those two wide open throws, if he doesn't throw the two picks, which really should have been three picks, if you saw that one pass between the 5 and the 7 in that game touchdown drive, he threw it literally, should have been picked off and wasn't, and fumbled the ball. So if he literally doesn't make those two picks against last week and also miss Sanders wide open, do they win those two games, yes or no?
Probably.
Okay, so if they're 2-1, how would you feel right now?
I feel okay with 2-1.
Right.
But what does that have to do with the price of tea in Japan?
Well, because you know what? I'm going to use your analogy. If you stop talking about the tea in China, the coach does need to improve.
I said Japan.
The roster does need to improve. The GM does need to improve. But you know who's the quickest guy who can improve? The same guy who did it last year when he was playing like a horse's ass after 12 games and turned it around in 4 games.
Yeah, unfortunately right now, though, they're so depleted that can you really expect him to like turn it around?
Wasn't that the same sentence you said in week 11 last year when they were depleted and he pulled it out in those last 4 weeks?
But this is like beyond depletion. I mean, they don't have anybody right now. They don't even have a left tackle. They don't have an offensive line. They had an offensive line we're talking about last time.
I agree with everything you're saying. So the depletion is also why he missed Sanders. It's why he threw that pick into the middle linebacker. It's why he can't read linebackers in his fifth year. And that's why he threw the pick on the wrong shoulder of Ertz's shoulder. Is that the reason he did that?
No, but now without Ertz, like Ertz is the only thing you have now on the field as opposed to like having other guys that you have to pay attention to. So it's easier to defend. It's like now it's almost impossible to find a clear receiver.
Michael, I understand that, but I'm trying to talk about what's already happened and his inability to actually read defense. If anybody who's played defensive football, all you have to do is look at his eyes. I've never seen a fifth-year pro quarterback.
Yeah, right now, he is that way. You're right. I don't know what you want me to say. Like, they can't. Like, he's going to be the starter for the next couple games. All right, Aaron's gone. All right, it's time to play presidential debate bingo. Da 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 da.
Yay!
Yeah, Price is Right music for that. All right, so Natalie, it is your turn to select a bingo piece.
All right, I'm gonna say taxes.
Taxes. Okay. Let's say you need to be more specific with that answer.
$750.
I'm gonna give that to you because you're tax returns.
Tax returns
is the phrase. So that gets you an I.
Okay, so I'm I and G.
You have I and G, and Tyrone, it is your turn.
Law and order.
Law and order. Bang! That gets you an I.
This is my next one.
Law and order gets you an I. So right now, the score is I-N for Tyrone, I-G for Natalie. Oh, it's exciting. All right, let's go to Harry on a cell. Harry, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Harry.
Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Harry?
Listen, I had a question about the Bowlington play.
Mm-hmm.
You brought it up earlier.
Duke Riley. Down goes Duke. Epps. Down goes Epsy. Jalen Mills. See ya. Yep.
Well, you said the illegal touching made it longer for them, longer than 3rd and 15.
It was a loss of down, right? That's what it was. Was it a loss of down? It went to 10-yard? Yeah, it was a 10-yard penalty. Yeah.
Now, is there a yardage penalty on a illegal touching?
Yes, it was 10 yards and a loss of down.
All right, follow me here. First down, Cincinnati lost 5 yards. So that made it second and 15.
Mm-hmm.
On second down was the illegal touching.
Mm-hmm.
On third down, it was still 3rd and 15. I'm kind of curious as to why that happened. Nobody noticed that.
I don't know. I have to go over to play-by-play. I'm not. So you're saying they missed it to 10-yard runoff?
Correct.
Okay.
Well, first down,
but
lost five.
Yeah, that's, but all right. So what? Second. Even if that is the case, what's the point of it? Was a 41-yard gain on that. So, what's your point?
Well, somebody on the sideline should notice that they didn't walk off 10 yards.
Yeah, well, we'll check on it. But like, still, the play was a screen play. It was 3rd and long. Whether it was 3rd and 15, 3rd and 20, or whatever, they probably would have run that kind of a play anyway. So, like, what? How does it apply to you?
Well, I mean, nobody's going to notice that they should have tacked on 10 yards to illegal touching.
Yeah, I
mean,
I know you're hanging on this, and maybe it was official error, but I had to check it. But even if it was 3rd and long, they were going to run something like that anyway. So, either way, the defense screwed up.
I was just curious as...
All right, well, you know, he's...
All right, so I have it in front of me. He's just wrong.
Okay.
So on first down, they had an 18-yard pass to Boyd. Surprise, surprise, on Nate Garrett.
Okay.
And I'm saying it out loud because he stinks. 5-yard run on first down.
Yeah.
By a negative 5 run, I mean. So it's 2nd and...
15, and what?
It was...
2nd and 15.
They got
15. A first down on the pass.
Right, 2nd and 15.
So that then is it was illegal touch?
Illegal touch, which they said is... 0 yards, but the loss of down.
Okay, so it was 0 yards.
Yeah, it wasn't.
A penalty.
Wasn't a
yardage penalty.
No, it was zero.
Okay. All right.
So then on 3rd and 15, they got the 42-yard screen pass.
All right, yeah. So, okay, so why was wrong? They didn't mark off the 10.
Right.
But it was 3rd and 15.
It was 3rd and 15.
Because they lost 5. Yeah.
Yes, on first down with a mix and a Brandon Graham stuffed them in the backfield.
All right, so there you go. Yeah. So it wasn't an official error. It was my error. 610-632. Yeah, I thought it was a penalty too. I thought it was a yardage penalty, but it doesn't really matter. It was 3rd and long. That's the point. And the bowling pin play happens because your guys got blocked out of the whole play.
Right.
All right. Mike Missinelli Show. Back in quickly in 3 minutes after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Alrighty, 3:47. Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Let's go back to the phone. Let's get some phones. So we got the football pool coming up at 4 o'clock. We got Bob Brook over coming up at 4. A lot of stuff happening here today on the show. And we'll find out. Maybe there's a press conference somewhere down the trough that the Phillies are going to call, either saying that Klentak's back or that Klentak's out. We'll see if it happens today. Let's go to Mark in Mayfair. Mark, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mark.
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's up, Mark? Gang? How you doing?
I'm good. Our medical staff, I know it's real poor, probably the NFL's worst. But what I see with Carson, and last year he had that good run those last four games, and then the playoff game he got the concussion. He came out in the first game this year, 17-0. He's hitting guys in the middle. There's no problem. We continued to throw with a 17-point lead. I don't know why. But he started to get hit a lot and often. I actually literally saw him do one of those duck moves, and a 300-pound athlete's knee went into his helmet. I don't know if he gets checked as he goes back to the sidelines, but what I'm seeing is, like, he got scrambled eggs. And once you get a concussion, it doesn't take much to get another one and continue to go down the line. I don't understand why nobody's not recognizing that his peripheral vision on screens is nil. He used to be, we have no problem throwing a screen. The depth perception going deep is gone. Like, he's totally out there. He's like that punch drunk guy in the fight.
What are you saying? That he got hurt in the game, or that he hasn't been able to come back from previous bangs to the head?
I think he got re-hurt in that Washington game. And after those hits,
yeah, but they have such tight protocol on that anymore. There's no way he's not going to get tested for that.
Mike, with our history, I don't know. And I think because the kid that's behind him isn't ready yet, they're pushing him out.
But they can't. This is a league issue now. They have spotters who look at that kind of stuff. It's all about the protocol. You can't get away with playing with a concussion anymore.
Does a guy fall off this far, though, Mike, in this quick?
When your confidence is shot, yeah. Now, the reason for his confidence being shot, that's his head, but I don't think it's a concussion. I think it's just confusion and insecurity right now. Listen, you're talking about a kid who has had to go up the ladder from a small state, a small town, a small school, and he's coming to this big league. And at first it was, you know, reckless abandon. Well, now maybe he's starting to think about it and his insecurities again. Like, he's always has to prove that he's good enough.
Yeah, it's in his head. Okay. Yeah,
I don't know. It's just a theory, but I don't think it's because of concussion.
Yeah, I just think that it should be more attention should be, or it should be at least mentioned or brought up that it is a possibility. I mean, it could not be getting caught.
But you got to think that if you're thinking that, don't you think the team is checking that like 100-fold? You know, like they're NFL spotters, they're doctors on the sidelines, they're trainers on the sidelines. Those days of gutting it out, concussion wise, are gone with this protocol the way they do it.
Everybody
has a theory.
Yeah, but I mean, is he a doctor?
No, he's not a doctor. So that's why there are doctors there. So trust science. Oh, that's a novel concept. Trust science. Am I saying that in 2020?
Is that on the card?
Hush my mouth. All right, let's go to Will in Philadelphia. Will, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Will.
Yes, I'm here.
What's
how you
up,
doing,
Will? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine. People are talking about getting rid of Carson Wentz. Look, if we have any doubt or any consolation of us getting rid of him, we need to keep him in the game. Because if we don't do that, other teams will know we don't want him. And we're not going to get anything for him.
Yeah, but at the end, like, you can't keep, if they're 2-8, there's no reason to play them.
Oh, I agree with that, but you know, we're always.
Yeah, they're not,
but
listen, they're not going to replace them now. That's not even a thought that they're going to replace them. Only if they're totally out of it will they think about playing the other guy. And I'm not even sure they would do it then, because this kid is clearly not ready to play.
No, I don't think so either. That's why, you know, I was saying that, like, leave. Just cut all that chase, you know, about possibly getting rid of Carson Wentz. You know, I hear Max Kellerman saying it.
Well, I don't think there's any question that they're going to do that. Like, I don't think that he's going to rescue his. They're going to, like, just look at this. If they send him out there, they go 2-14, right? You probably can't come back with him, and you have to figure out what the cap problems are. But if you take him out at 2-8, and you decide not to move, you decide to move on. You have to take the cap hit, but at 2-8, he can't screw it up anymore. At 2-14, he totally taints himself, right?
Right. Just don't do it prematurely.
No, they're not going to do it prematurely. What gives you the idea they're going to do it prematurely?
I'm just going by what I'm hearing on, you know,
they're just musing out loud that Jalen Hurts.
Right, and
he's
not
ready to play.
A question for you,
yes,
now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Lakers and Miami Heat are in the finals.
Oh, they are? Jimmy Butler's in the finals against LeBron? No way!
There is a question, Mike. Maybe you can answer this for me.
Uh-huh.
For all the players on both teams that decided not to come to the bubble, if the Lakers or the Heat win the championship, do they get a ring also if they opt
not to
come?
Yeah, they probably do.
And
they play the whole regular season. They probably do.
Wow.
You know, what are you going to do? Say no? I mean, it was a legitimate reason for opting out. You don't want to put yourself at risk. What, are you going to take a ring away from you for that?
Yeah, and then there was kids' situation, like Avery Bradley got things with his kids.
Exactly.
He'll still get a ring. He played 60 games or whatever for him.
Yeah. So, if you win a championship, you become very benevolent.
Yes.
Guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you care? You got the chip. All right, 4 o'clock hour. Top of the hour, we roll with the Fanatic Football Pool, where we're going to have some lucky listener out there who's the fifth caller get $100 and try to get into the big prize pool by answering a trivia question. And Bob Brookover, who wrote a story suggesting that the sources inside say Matt Clentak's going to be back. So we'll get the update from Bob on that on the Mike Mussinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Alrighty, it's the 4 o'clock hour. And the 4 o'clock hour is brought to us by Landis Block, your one stop shop to create a jaw dropping outdoor paradise online at landisbc.com. And now,
this is the Fanatic Football Pool.
Fanatic Football Pool. Contest line is open 215-263-0975. If you're the fifth caller on that contest line, again, it's 215-263-0975. You'll get $100 cash from Parks Casino Sportsbook, and we'll ask you a trivia question, and you could qualify for the grand prize drawing to win the entire Fanatic Football Pool and everything in it, which includes $1,000 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. It includes a fire pit from Landis Block and Concrete. It includes a Pool and Pro 21-inch snowblower from Paul B. Moyer and Sons, and also a full year supply of snacks from Hearst Snack Foods and a bunch of other inconsequential crap that we throw in there. So, fifth caller, contest line, 215-263-0975. All right. Eagles issues, yes, but also Phillies issues as I'm watching the playoffs start on my TV right in front of me here in the studio, and the Phillies aren't included. And the big issue is whether the regime that built the team that did not make the playoffs will be back. And for that, we get some insight from the man who wrote a story saying that most likely or possibly the general manager will return. He writes baseball and covers the Phillies for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Bob Brookover on the Comcast Business Highline Beyond Fast. Bob, what's the update on the GM chair?
I thought we were going to talk about Connor Brogdon improving the bullpen.
Yeah, we're not.
Okay. All right. We better go into the GM then. There's no update as of right now. You know, there's sentiment on both sides inside that building. There's some people who think that he's staying, and there's some people who think he's not staying. You know, I was just talking to Tyrone before we started the call about if we poll the fans, it's going to be about 98-2% in favor of getting rid of the general manager right now. And that's a lot of pressure on John Middleton. So we'll see. We'll see what he decides. I'm just hoping, and he shouldn't have to take as long as it took him to get his thoughts together about Gabe Kapler last year. We went 10, 11 days before we found out what was happening with Gabe last year. He's had 5 years to look back, Klentak, see what he's done with, in terms of the analytics department, running a team, building a farm system. It's all there. So, he should be able to come to a much quicker decision this year than
yeah.
he did a year ago.
I mean, I totally agree with that. And see, here's the thing. He's not oblivious to fan sentiment, but he has enough information in front of him without fan sentiment about this whole thing. Because, and we were talking about it earlier, at every level, on the field, in the farm system, the scouts in the farm system, the coaches who coach those players in the farm system, the trades that he made that didn't work out, the advanced scouts who recommended that trade. There has not been a success.
Yeah, I mean, we can say there have been some. I mean, getting Jay Tremuto was a good move. Signing Bryce Harper, good move. Drafting Alec Bohm was obviously a good move. There have been, and Didi was a good move. Zach Wheeler was a good move. There have been some good moves. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's fair to say that there haven't been any good moves. But it was all just crumbled to pieces by the bullpen, and that was Matt Klentak's responsibility to build a good bullpen in the offseason. He didn't really address it enough. The one thing we don't know is who didn't want them to go over that the salary threshold, and get be taxed. Was that a thing that Matt Klentak really didn't want to do this year, or was it a thing that John Middleton didn't really want to do this year? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. And, nobody's willing to give me the answer to that question. But they should have, and they should have had a better bullpen to start. And then when he got a chance to remake the bullpen in the middle of the season, well, we know that was perhaps even a bigger disaster. He might have been better off. I'm not even going to say might. I think he would have been better off sticking with Nick Pivetta. This is hindsight entirely, but sticking with Nick Pivetta and maybe trying to make him a reliever because he certainly got the arm, and maybe trying some of the younger guys sooner would have been better than what he brought in, because that ended up being a disaster. Now, I can't say that I said that at the time, because I didn't, but it became what it became, and that was a disaster.
Let's look. I don't know. I assume McPhail would be a guy that would be standing up for Klentak. But why isn't his job in jail? He might be the money manager that Middleton trusted, who didn't want to go over the luxury tax. But what's McPhail's status in this whole thing?
It's a great question, Mike, because I don't know, and I also don't know the first part of what you said there. If that's true, if McPhail. You got to remember McPhail when Matt Klentak decided to change managers from Pete McCann to Gabe Kapler, made the comment, you only get so many of these as a general manager before they start saying, what about the general manager? He made that comment. So I don't know for sure that Andy McPhail's in his corner. Mm-hmm. I do know this, and this is an interesting part of the whole dynamic here. This is a conversation I had with Middleton before the season started about how much he still listens to Pat Gillick and how strong a voice Pat Gillick still has in this organization. Where Pat Gillick comes down on this issue, I don't know. He certainly was more of a guy who relied on his scouting eyes and his scouts than the analytics, because that's the age he worked in. But how much is his voice going to influence this decision? I have to think some, for sure, based on what Middleton told me before the season.
All right, what do you think the arguments are for keeping him? If you put it on a balancing scale, I can easily put it on a balancing scale and say, overall, so yeah, there have been some successes, but overall, it's been a failure, this regime. So what are the arguments for it to keep him?
Well, one of the main ones, I guess, a couple. One would be, it's hard to judge somebody on this season because it was a 60-game season. You know, it just wasn't normal. Their schedule got screwed up right from the start because of the Marlins' COVID. They had to play 8 doubleheaders. You know, and the points I made out about, you know, Bohm and mm-hmm. and I joked about Connor Brogdon, but he was certainly a success. But I, if you put it column A and column B were to get rid of him, it would be a stronger column. The other thing you could say, because it is a shortened season, is if it wasn't for that bullpen blowing 8 leads of 3 runs or more, by far the most in baseball, could they have been a playoff team? I mean, Joe Girardi said it the last day of the season, I think we could have won 35 to 38 games. I think we were good enough to do that. You know, I got to think that helps Matt Klentak's case. I don't, you know, I have no reason not to take Joe Girardi at his word about working with Matt Klentak and enjoying that. And maybe there's part of Joe saying, hey, you know what? I have a good working relationship. The end of my tenure in New York, I did not have a great working relationship with Brian Cashman. I'd rather have this known guy that I feel like I can work with. I think having him in his corner has to help Klentak some. So there, you know, those are things that Middleton is going to have to weigh in terms of, was it just the bullpen? To me, it comes down to, was it just the bullpen? And if so, if I'm John Middleton, do I believe Matt Klentak can fix this bullpen in 1 year and make us that much better team? But he's also got to get, you know, he's also got spots to fill. If he can't get JT Realmuto back or Didi Gregorius back, then it becomes a much bigger thing in terms of keeping this team, because this team was good in a lot of ways. They had, you know, an offense that was elite.
All right, we're talking about Bob Brookover. He wrote the story covering the Phillies in baseball a year that Klentak could be back. Now, Bob, whatever they do, whether they bring him back or not, you're right, and you just touched on it. The makeup of this team will be what next year? That they Didi is a free agent. Realmuto is a free agent. It's going to tax the luxury tax situation even more. They need a center fielder. They need a rebuilt bullpen. They may need another starting pitcher to get from somewhere if Spencer Howard is not the guy. So where are they going with this as far as their money situation for whoever is the GM?
Yeah, I mean, they're losing some salary here too. Obviously, they would. JT's salary would go off and Didi's salary would go off. Arrieta's salary is going to disappear. So there, you know, there's going to be some money there. You know, everybody in baseball is talking about what kind of offseason is going to be anyway, because they just had a season without fans, and who knows what we're going to be looking at in February in terms of fans coming back at that point. I got to think they will in some capacity, even if it's not 100%. But There's a lot of things to consider, and that's the big question. Do you believe that Matt Klentak's the right guy to take you to a different place? You know, to a place that to take you out of what you've already been in. You know, he wouldn't be the first general manager here ever kept beyond 5 years without winning. But it's a different landscape now than it ever has been before, because John Middleton has taken the Phillies. I mean, they've gone there before when they were really winning, but even not before winning, he's taken them into another stratosphere as far as payroll goes.
All right. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Bob, I know you'll be all over it. So we'll keep an ear out there for what happens with this GM situation. Thanks for coming on.
It will be fascinating, Mike. Have a great day.
All right, Bob. Thank you. Bob Brookover in the Inquirer. Now, he just raised, like he just threw it out there like it's no big deal. Well, Didi's money come off the books. Realmuto's money come off the books. What kind of team do they have then? Like, what would they do at shortstop? Would they have the kid? Will they trust the position to the kid they have in the minor league? Stott?
Tight with Harper.
Who would be the candidate? Like, would they be improved?
No.
So they keep Segura around one more year, then maybe he'd be the starting shortstop. That's not going to help you either.
No, but you can't get rid of that money.
No, you can't get rid of the money. So what kind of team? Yeah, it's one thing to say, okay, we're going to be without the taxing salaries of Didi Gregorius and JT Realmuto. And I go, who's catching for you? Bo Diaz?
Yeah, you also can replace, for the amount you were paying Arrieta, you can get a pitcher who's better than Arrieta.
Yeah, certainly.
You can.
Yeah, that clears up.
So you take Arrieta's money and you can apply that to a guy who's a three, because that's all you need. Like, they're not, I mean, in theory, you need a three. Wheeler and Nola are your top two for sure. And then
that's a shame. Arrieta, we're not going to see him anymore. He kind of went out ingloriously. Didn't he?
We forgot
to say goodbye to Jakey.
Yeah, he's not going to be back. So that money, you can get a starter for sure with that money.
All right. Yes, we have our fifth caller on the line. His name is Anthony from Southwest Philly. What's up, Anthony?
What's up?
Congratulations. You win $100 right out of the chute from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. And now I'm going to ask you a trivia question. Get it right. We'll put you in the grand prize drawing to win the Fanatic football pool, which has all the big prizes in it. Are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
All right, Anthony. Who did the Eagles take with their first-round draft pick in 2016?
Oh, wow. Oh, 2016. Oh, Barrett, the defensive end?
Are you talking about Barnett?
Barnett.
No, dude, no. 2016 was the quarterback, Anthony. Carson Wentz.
Well, hey, Mike, well, let me say this. I'm down on him just like everybody else.
Yeah, well, sorry, Anthony, but, right, nice shot. Carson Wentz, maybe it was too obvious an answer, and Anthony was overthinking it. I hate it when people don't get qualified for the grand prize drawing, because I want them to get that James Thrash bobblehead.
Yeah, we just added some stuff to that.
Oh, we did? What did we add?
Yeah, it's on there, the Phillies triple play. It includes an Aaron Nola autographed ball, a Rhys Hoskins autographed jersey, and a Bryce Harper autographed bat. All courtesy of our friends at T-Mobile, your ticket to the Phillies with America's largest 5G
network. Well, there you go. The big prize was added, the Phillies triple play. Aaron Nola autographed ball, which was autographed before his last three starts.
Yep.
Rhys Hoskins autographed jersey, which was before the elbow injury. And Bryce Harper, before he actually got hurt signing the bat.
Yeah, back, before the back.
Little tweak, signing it, so we apologize for that. But, yeah, it's courtesy of our friends at T-Mobile, your ticket to the Phillies with America's largest 5G network. All right, before we get back to the phones, it is time to play Presidential Debate Bingo.
There we go.
Okay. Natalie, it is your turn. A term, a person, a thing that's going to be talked about tonight at the presidential debate.
I'm going to go with climate, Mike.
Climate change. All right, let's see if that is on. Climate change is... It's not on the board.
Maybe one of the later ones.
Climate change is not on the board. Right. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
I'm going to go with... I believe he's going to say the China virus.
The China virus. Ding, ding, ding. And that's a B for Tyrone. So Tyrone has B-I-N, and Natalie has I-G. To be continued. Let's go to Mike and Bluebell. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Mike and Miss Hagan.
What's up, Mike?
I'm curious about your thoughts if you feel like, in light of how Carson Wentz is playing this year, and then most recently with how Nick Foles did this past week, and now with Mitch Trubisky being on the bench and kind of maybe not working out for the Bears, if the Philly front office has had any regrets, obviously, about getting rid of the Super Bowl MVP, and then if they have even strongly considered, or at least considered even remotely, calling up the Bears and inquiring about a potential trade.
Let me ask you a question. You know it's been one game, right? It's only been one game. Did you fast forward life? Like he played in Jacksonville. How'd that work out?
Well, he broke his collarbone.
Yeah, he lost the job to a mustache guy.
And then he got Nick Foles himself.
Yeah, he failed. He failed in Jacksonville. And then he went to Chicago, and they picked him up because they thought he would be able to beat out Mitchell Trubisky, and he didn't. So now he comes in, and he relieves him for one game. Now, is that enough? I know you have great reverence for the man, all right? But you think you're a little overreacting with the Nick Foles thing in one game? And it'd be a crap team.
Well, here's my theory. Huh? I think that when they're practicing with Jacksonville and certainly with the Bears this offseason, he might not be the best practicer, but you know, when he gets into that situation, Nick Foles, something clicks and he digs deep and he's able to perform like he's never performed before. He just keeps doing it and doing it and doing it. And I feel like
He didn't do it in Jacksonville at all.
Well, let's forget about Jacksonville.
Well, no, you can't forget about it because it's a measure of how good a quarterback he is. Like, anybody can come off the bench and beat Atlanta, right? Now let's see if he keeps the job. I'm not even sure he keeps that job down in Chicago.
Well, the
notion of trade for him is ridiculous, is what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, maybe, but he's only making $8 million a year. Carson Wentz is making, $50?
It's not going to happen, bro.
Nah.
It's not going to happen.
Well, what about the relationship between... I heard the Fox announcers or the CBS announcers saying that the relationship that Peterson has with Wentz is not nearly as strong as the relationship and intuitiveness that he had with Nick Foles.
Mike, can I suggest something to you? You got to forget all about the Nick Foles thing. Please.
Got to move on?
I'm begging you. With God's help, can you please forget about the Nick Foles thing?
So I'll just strap my cart to Carson Wentz?
Yeah. The Foles thing is over. And like, what would make you think, if you think that highly of him, and the Bears do, what would make you think that the Bears would trade him?
Well, that's the thing. Do you think that if the Eagles said, let's trade Wentz for Foles straight up, you take Wentz contract, you know, we take Foles, do you think the Bears would consider it?
No, because the money, it would strap them. And no, I don't think so. Please, can we please stop with this?
It's never going to stop.
Would you just stop with this guy, please? I'm begging you. God, I don't ask you for much. All right, I ask you to help me make that 5-foot putt last weekend. But please help me out with this false thing.
It's never going to stop. Never, ever, ever. Forever. It's going to go on forever.
It's
forever.
It's just breaking me down. I can't take it.
And then what happens next week? What if he does good next week?
He's on an undefeated team. They pulled the other quarterback after going 2-0.
No, I know, but everybody is convinced that he has these magical backup powers, that once he's activated as a backup, then he comes in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, all right. Let's take a break. 610-632-0975. Coming up later this hour, I know people are waiting for, especially our conservative listeners. It's called Mike's Political Commentary. And I swear it's very short today. All right. So that's going to happen a little later this hour on the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 4:30. Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time for the Twitter poll update brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons in Doylestown. Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. Over 600 votes on this one today. Do the Eagles have the resources to turn this season around? 25% say yes, it can be done. 75% say no, there's not enough.
All right, this just in on Instagram, by the way. John Clark posted it. Booby Miles, the 14, which is otherwise known as Miles Sanders, has put this on Instagram with a picture of himself. Don't be a fan later, either with us or not, the whole way. Let's start doing that, man. This is a frustrating fan base, dude. And guess what? They're not worried about you. But you want to interject yourself into this and tweak the bear? Come on, man. He should know better than that.
He knows where he's playing, right?
Like, he know, like, Penn State isn't that
it's
far.
It's not that
from
far.
Him,
I was
for
thinking
him to
that.
Not know what the hell's
Come
going on.
Come on, dude.
Mm-hmm.
He's from,
you know,
a
he's
city.
From Pittsburgh.
That's a city where they care about football a little bit.
Yeah.
They care about football there, too.
Listen, man, your squad's 0-2-1. You could be in Cincinnati, and you go on the road to play two teams that are going to demolish you. Not the time to be tweaking fans.
And,
my friend,
we let it slide when the coach said, oh,
Miles was fatigued
at the end of the game. Because
yes, we did.
We knew you were coming off a hamstring.
Didn't say anything.
We were nice about that. We don't have to be nice about that. Are you going to be ready in the fourth quarter? You chirping. You got enough energy to chirp on social media. Are you going to have enough energy to finish the damn game? I'm just wondering.
Come on, Miles.
Since you got time to Twitter fingers. How about you know, not fumbling early in the Rams game to put your offense behind an eight ball because you fumbled early. Everyone let that slide.
See what he did? The dam is broken, Miles.
I know, he wound him up.
He wound him up.
So we didn't say nothing about that bad fumble early that really put your defense and your offense really at eight ball that affected your already struggling quarterback even worse. No one said anything about that, and now you want to talk to us?
Let's go, man.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
Either you're with us or you're against us. Let's go. Oof. All right, let's go, Ed in Wilmington. Ed, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Ed.
Mike, how are you?
What's up, Ed?
I agree with Tyrone completely. He went from Butterfingers to Twitter fingers.
Well, you got to be either with us or not the whole way.
We got
to ignore what just happened the first 3 weeks. But wipe that from your brain.
Eagles. The rudder is broke. They're 1,000 miles offshore, 3 games in. There's no turning back now. They are going to list through the water in a lazy, crazy circle. They are not going to be good this year. They're going to have 10 losses. I don't believe Doug Peterson at all anymore. And I think there's subterfuge undermining. I think they're setting them up to get hurt. You know, as much as people want to jump on Wentz, man, he ran that ball in at the end of the game just on pure will by himself.
Yeah, that's like a participation trophy.
That's what?
That's only a participation trophy, him doing that. It was nice, but come on, he didn't do enough.
You know that other guy's not ready.
It's a blue ribbon. It's not like a,
They are not setting him up to succeed at all. He's going to get hurt.
Yeah, I'm done with they're not setting him up either, too. he's got to figure it out, man. He's a grown man.
Yeah, well, Nick Foles is not the answer.
No, don't worry about it. Nick Foles isn't coming here.
I'm not. But you know what? And I'm not a member of the Folesian Society, but he does throw a nice teardrop once in a while that just drops in there.
Yeah, you're
too. Yeah, I'm not. I'm a 4-4. Flyers start up in a month or so.
They're wooing you to the other side, Ed.
No, they're not.
Yeah, you're crossing the red line now.
I am not. I like Carson Wentz.
You got him winning 6 games, huh?
That's about it.
Give him to me.
I know. I can't give them to you.
Well, you told me 6, so let's go down the list. You say yes and yay or nay. Niners?
No.
Steelers?
Yeah.
You got Steelers as a dub. All right. Ravens?
Loss.
Giants?
Win.
Cowboys?
Loss.
Giants?
Win.
Browns?
Win.
Seahawks.
Loss.
Packers.
Loss.
Saints.
Go win. I don't know.
Well, that's not a win. All right. Cardinals.
That's probably a loss.
Cowboys.
Loss.
And finally, you get your 6th. Washington.
Win.
There's your 6th. So your whole season hinges on a victory against the Saints, which is not going to happen.
No, they lock. That's a lock win. Yeah, I'm just saying. The Saints stink, too.
They're not going to beat the Saints.
With that call, they're going to go 7-8-1. They're going to go 7-8-1.
Come on, man.
The Eagles are going 7-8-1.
Stop it.
That's not good.
You gave up on the season 2 hours ago.
7-8-1 is not going to get it done. Cowboys will be 97.
I got to win 7 games.
Go do the list again.
You're tripping.
Do the list again.
Stop it.
I got it. You're going to win 7 games.
All right, let's go. All right.
49ers is a stone loss.
It's Steelers.
Win.
Oh, stop.
I don't think the Steelers are that good. Keep going. Keep going.
Ravens.
Loss.
Giants.
Win.
Cowboys.
Loss.
Giants.
Win.
Browns.
Win.
You beat the Browns?
Yep.
Seahawks.
Loss.
Packers.
Loss.
Saints.
Why?
Because
it's the lock of the year.
It's, you're so transparent.
No, it's not.
You hate that quarterback so much.
No, it's not. It's the travel of, just like the Buffalo situation with the Rams, that is the Saints situation there.
Eagles. Drew Brees. It influences you.
Deep going.
Cardinals.
That's a loss.
The Cowboys.
Win.
Washington.
Win. 7-8-1. 7-8-1. That's not enough. Dallas is going to be 9-7 and win the division.
All right.
7-8-1 is this team. That's under 500. Still not good enough. They're going 7-8-1.
All righty. Before you get back to the phones, it is time that everybody's been waiting for this. It is time, ladies and gentlemen, for today's political commentary. Yes. And it's short and sweet today. It's only two words. Rudy Giuliani. That's the end of that. That's the end of my political commentary. See? It was short, sweet.
Got it out of your system.
Rudy, honey, come and get your warm milk. By the way, John Gotti's dead. All right, back to the phones. Andrew in Phoenixville. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Andrew.
Mike, Ty, and Ned, good afternoon. I have a new game show for you, Mike. It's called What Will Middleton Do? Okay, I want all three of you guys to play along, okay?
Go ahead.
Mike, I agree with you. If they let the catcher and the shortstop go, it's malpractice, and our team is going to be even worse than they are this year, if that's possible. So, but Middleton is...
Where would they get a catcher? Seriously, where do you get a catcher that's a starting catcher? Who would they get? Wait, Andrew Knapp and a backup would be your catching situation?
I agree with you. They can't let this happen, Mike. But you said you were confident that they were going to re-sign Real Muto earlier.
I was confident they were going to make the playoffs, too. Now, if I'm Real Muto, I want to play with this squad? Especially if there's upheaval now.
Okay, so after you listen to Brookover, what's your confidence level that this guy's done?
I think there's no way that he can't fire him. I just don't. I think that highly, John Middleton. He sees the same thing we see. He's as frustrated as well. I mean, this is his entity. He doesn't have enough of an argument to keep him.
Does Middleton, does he even care about the backlash that will happen?
He cares. He cares. He listened back on Kapler. He was like all ears about the backlash on Kapler. It's one of the reasons why he was...
Like, this guy is going in the bunker. Mike, you don't hear a peep out of this
guy. Well, I mean, he's an owner who wants to stay in a bunker. It's fine. Just make the right decision. Now, he bucked against the Kapler trend, even though his general manager was telling him to keep Kapler. So he made an independent decision on that.
And I agree with you. McPhail cannot avoid getting the axe, too, because he's the head of the snake.
Yeah, well, yeah. To me, it's clear. And I'm sorry, and I know... There were some successes. Bob pointed me out. There were some successes.
But you can't count Harper as a success for Klentak because Middleton got that deal.
He did, but the Wheeler. Listen, Wheeler, you know, crapped the bed that by the end of the year. But still, that's a success. The Bohm thing. I'd be honest with you. I don't even think they thought he was going to do this because they were reluctant. They kept saying he wasn't ready. Wasn't ready. I don't even know if I give him credit for that.
All right, and one quick passing thing, Mike. What do you think the chances are that we get Doc from the Clips to be the Sixer coach, Mike? Ty,
I think it's a very interesting and high probability.
All right, guys, have a good night. Thank you.
All right, man, you got it. He seems to be the best candidate for me, anyway. I would hire Doc over any of those guys. But again, I don't have this coach thing. I try to butt out of it.
I got you. But he's not at the top of my list.
He's not at the top of your list. D'Antoni's at the top of your list.
Yeah, of the guys they seem to have interest in, unless there's a wild card. I think I know the ceiling on Doc.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think
Clippers lost.
I think he's got clout in the league.
Yeah.
He's won a championship. D'Antoni's got clout, too. He hasn't won anything. He's gimmicky. I don't know. I'm leaning towards, if that's the last two choices, then I would lean towards Doc. All right. As we go to the break, Let's bring back a little debate bingo. All right, so Tyrone is a B-I-N, Natalie an I-G. So, Nat, it's your choice. What will be heard tonight? What phrase, what term, what city, whatever, what country will be heard tonight on the presidential debate?
I'm wondering if Biden's going to pull out one of his old faithfuls and say a malarkey.
Malarkey is correct. You now have an O.
Nice.
All right. Malarkey. All right, Tyrone, you can go up with four letters.
I believe they're going to say law enforcement.
Law enforcement. I'm going to give that to you. The judges, even though if you were the judge, you wouldn't give it to me. Law and order. We'll round it off. Is that fair, Natalie? Law and order?
Said law and order already.
I said law and order
last time.
Oh, you did? Oh,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
He misses that one.
Oh, law enforcement. Oh, that's my bad. So law enforcement is no go.
That's not on the list.
Not on the bingo card.
Huh.
All right, so now we're tied. Three letters apiece.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
It's the Mike Piscinelli Show on attention. It's just thick. We're back after this.
The Mike Piscinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, so it's 4:45 of Mike Piscinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. By the way, tonight, a new show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's Beers with Bob, it's called. Yep, Beers with Bob. Cootie's walking around here.
He's right here.
Cootie, 6-7. Cootie's not discriminating at all. He's got a Phillies mask on and a Phillies hat.
Yeah, he's still on board.
In this day and age, he's rocking that.
Well, I mean, but you know what? I've listened to his rants in the morning. He's pretty fired up, so I'm sure he still has the same venom, but he's still trying to represent.
All right, so from 6 to 7, Piers and Bob. It's Bob and Andrew Sachunas taking a look at everything. They should be... They can't drink on the air, right? But they can pretend like they're doing, like... It's not on video, so how would people know?
Technically...
If you drink
on the air.
They can?
What? I thought that was illegal.
Well,
you can get finished.
Everybody told me that.
The reason is because the only person who can is the person who runs the board. I am the operator. Therefore, I could not drink.
I can't do it on live TV.
Well, TV wouldn't, they wouldn't let you. You're allowed.
But could you get, like, open a Corona?
No, I was only talking about legality.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't. Because I'm the operator. If you're not an operator,
okay.
You can
drink. Where do you know there's FCC regulations?
That's the regulation.
I thought it said nobody could drink on the air.
Company policy is obviously don't drink. I'm saying as far as getting the FCC involved, the operator can't.
All right.
Mm.
Anyway, Beers with Bob tonight, 6-7 with Sachunas. So kick back and listen. Let's go to Adam in Los Angeles. Adam, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Adam.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
Thanks for taking the call.
What's up, Adam?
Hey, I just want to let you guys know that I love the show, and you know, we're not feeling great about the Eagles right now, but I'm not feeling as bad as we did last week or the week before. And you know, obviously, we'd like to get the win, but a tie is not a loss. And in my opinion, I think we made an improvement on defense and on offense in all 3 weeks. Carson finally remembered how to run the ball. And I think that's what he needs. He needs to build that confidence up, and he needs to make an impact on the game for his confidence to go up. What do you think?
Well, I think, Adam, that being in L.A., with the sunshine and the weather and all that stuff, has filed you down a little bit.
Say that again?
I think that you're in a kinder, sunnier place to have the attitude that this team has improved I admire it. I think
I bleed a lot of green.
Yeah, but I think you've been softened by L.A. a little bit.
Well, maybe because the Lakers are going to the finals.
Yeah, yeah, but you wake up in the sunshine, you got a lemon tree in your backyard. I get it.
Oh, no. But Sundays are just as rough out here as anybody else for any Eagles fan around the world.
Yeah, I'm just not seeing what you saw. I'm not. First of all, I would never say a tie is good. Second of all, I wouldn't say that Carson was back.
Go back to that part, just on that part right now.
Okay,
on the tie part.
All right.
A tie does not equate a loss, correct? It's not a loss.
Yeah, it kind of is. But in the context of the game, it kind of is a loss.
Sure, we're not getting the win. I get it, but we did not lose, and that's something. We don't want to build on a tie.
Oh, yes, so were you the coach of this team in overtime in the final possession? Because that's exactly the head coach thought. The head coach was thinking that a tie was good.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's a tie is good. But we did not lose. And on the words of Charles Barkley, we're going to guarantee a win against San Fran this week.
What's the weather out there, Adam, right now? Pretty nice?
Man, it's about 99 degrees. It's hot.
Oh, it's too hot? All right. Well,
it's kind of hot.
Yeah, I don't know. The LA perspective a little different than the Philly perspective, possibly.
A tie is worse than a loss for me. Win or lose, don't tie.
There's no redeeming value to it. So
why would you settle for mediocrity?
Well,
at least, if you're going to lose, just lose. So don't tie.
When you're in L.A., it's different.
I know. Maybe it's me.
You wake up differently.
I guess. Sunshine.
It's good. You go to a juice bar. You know what I'm saying?
I'm all hopped up on caffeine. It's National Coffee Day.
A shot of wheatgrass. You know, it changes your energy.
Mellows you out.
Todd in Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Todd.
Hey, Mike, you're exactly right with the lemon tree and all that stuff. You know, you wake up differently. That's about it.
Yeah, it's a palm that gives you natural shade.
Yeah, but I don't. Yeah, you're right. But I don't care for ties myself. I don't like them at all.
Yeah, no, I'm not a big fan either.
I hear you.
Listen, a tie against the 49ers. Yeah, it earns a couple points. Tie to Cincinnati Bengals at home. It does nothing for me.
No, not at all. Nah. Anyway, here's the deal, Carson Wentz, bro. Okay, gotta go. I mean, I'm fed up with it, and I'm not even from here, and I'm burned out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he's not going to go anywhere, so. No, not now.
Okay, so what? How long is he signed for, Mike?
Two more years.
Mm-hmm. And do you think he'll go in 2 years from now?
Yes. I think that's why they drafted Jalen Hurts, because in 2 years' time, they're ready to make the transition.
Is that right? I'll be
That's
gone.
Just my theory.
Yeah, well, now I'm kind of sort of with you, bro.
Where are you from, Todd?
I'm sorry, the what?
Where are you from originally?
I'm in between Baltimore, Maryland, and Washington, D.C.
Oh, okay.
Right in the middle, Ellicott City.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
right.
Gotcha. But here's the deal, bro. I mean, Ty is burned out now, and a lot of other people are also burned out. So I wish the guy all the luck in the world, and I think you could be right for sure. But, I mean, I would trade him as soon as
I
could.
Well, yeah, they're certainly not going to do anything with him right now, and they're not going to trade him in this calendar year. But it remains to be seen. The story has to be continue to be written on his fate here as a quarterback. Now, Sal Powell is coming up at 5:15, so I'm curious to know how Sal Powell sees the performance by both the quarterback and the coach, to be fair. It's the Mike Missinelli Show, 5 o'clock hour, straight ahead after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, it's 5 o'clock. Mike Bissonnette, I like that music. It's ominous. I don't know about why, but it's ominous. I like it.
Post Malone?
Yeah. Ty's not a big Post Malone guy.
You're not?
No. But I mean, it's not just the music. It's his existence.
The whole, yeah.
The whole package. And
yeah, you don't like the whole packages.
And I don't like when somebody, well, you don't have to get into it now, but it's because things that Post Malone has said that he should apologize for.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I get it. 5 o'clock hours brought to us by Guided Door and Window. Yep, 20% off all windows and doors right now. No money down, and they give you 3 years to pay it off interest free. It's free money for 3 years. Call Guided Door and Window today at 1-877-GO-GUIDED or visit goguida.com. Well, let's start the hour off with a positive note because I have some odds here.
Okay.
I have some odds on the Super Bowl winning team and the odds to win the Super Bowl.
There's some now, good news
there is. The Eagles aren't going to win the Super Bowl. However, I notice, and I didn't expect this, there are, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 teams with worse Super Bowl odds than the Eagles.
Really? Considering
12.
That is good news considering they're 0-2-1.
Yes. So who are the 12?
Well, the Jets and the Giants got to be two.
They're
of them.
Two of them. They're at the bottom at 1,000-1.
Yeah, Broncos worse than them at
Broncos,
this point.
Broncos absolutely 300-1.
Washington, I think, is
Washington 500-1. Correct.
Oh, I got to think about some of these bad AFC teams. The top of my head,
Central, NFC Central.
All right,
One team's win. They're both, three of them are winless.
Oh, the Vikings.
Yes, the Vikings, the Lions.
Yeah. All right.
Vikings are actually lower than the Lions. If you can believe that.
Wow.
So now you got, you got several more. You can go to Florida if you want.
they can't have Jacksonville worse.
Jacksonville, Miami, 300-1. Yes,
both of those teams haven't been bad.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm a little surprised by this.
Yeah, because 14. Wait, there's 32 teams.
Yeah, maybe your 7-8-1 is more realistic than I thought.
Yeah,
at least in Vegas, they're saying there are 12 teams that stink worse than this team.
Well, that means they have them 20th, basically, or 20th in the league.
Uh huh.
And 14 make the playoffs.
Uh-huh.
Now.
Oh, yeah. God.
So let's go Falcons.
Oh, yeah.
Texans.
Yeah, they're strong. Okay.
Panthers.
Yeah.
Bungles.
Uh-huh.
You said Broncos, right?
Yeah.
The Miami and Jacksonville.
All right.
Yeah.
So you know what?
Things are looking up.
No. I don't think, like, we realize as fans right now how important it is that they steal by all means they should lose the next three. We all agree. 49ers, Steelers, Ravens should be 0-3.
You think they're going to steal Pittsburgh?
I think they're going to steal Pittsburgh. I don't know why, but I think they do. That's hugely important because you can play your way out of stuff. Plus, we don't know who's good yet. It says you have the toughest schedule. Somebody on that schedule that you think is good now is going to stink. Mm. And some team, I'm not saying it's the Eagles, some team that stinks right now, by the end of the year, we're going to look back and say, man, uh-huh. Like Tennessee last year, they stunk this time of year. By the end of the year, obviously, conference championship.
Yep.
So things are still going to change. If you steal one, you're treading water enough to where you maybe get an easy game or two.
Yeah, ask me if I'm feeling better.
Oh, I don't. Do you feel any
better?
No. I didn't think so.
Nope. Yeah. All right, let's go.
I would say no.
Dave in Center City. What's up, Dave?
Yo, what's up, guys?
What's going on, Dave?
Yeah, before I get into the Eagles, firstly, it's a no-brainer for the Bears. Trubisky scares no one in playoff football, yet no team wants to face Nicky Six in playoff football. So that's a no-brainer. Let's jump ahead to the Eagles. I'm 100% behind them going for a tie. 0-3 would have been a catastrophe. They're 0-2-1. They're technically in a three-way tie for first. Let's jump ahead to this week at Frisco. The Niners were already trending downward before the season started. Now with these injuries, they're not smoking anybody, much less the Eagles. Mullins gets sacked 11 times by the Eagles. And if you will, Dougie Pete's teams do not get smoked. In 4+ years, they've been smoked twice. Once was by the Saints, 48-7 in the regular season, and you know what happened in the divisional playoffs. They got the you-know-what scared out of them.
I got to ask you this question at this time. Do you use the calls to us as, like, acting class?
There's nothing thespian about me, sir.
Your conclusions are so, like, it's...
You're the amazing Karnak. You have decided after three weeks of football, they're not going to win this. I've been on the last 2 years with you, pleading with you. This team cannot be beaten in November and December.
You're playing me, man. I respect you. This is acting class. It's because you're so misguided about these thoughts that it's like not even, you know. You're using me in some form. What is this? Kind of like... Seriously, there's got to be something at work here.
So you're
so passionately wrong that it's got to be fake.
And so look, I was passionately wrong 2 years ago and last year when you had.
Yeah. So you look at this team right now and you see sunshine. Yes.
You may get a tie next week in Frisco. I mean, they stink. The Eagles are struggling. I got 2-2-2 after 6 games.
Okay. All right.
Oh, by the way, Natalie, happy belated birthday. I love you guys.
That's right. It was Nat's birthday on Sunday. Nat, did you do anything special?
Yeah, I went out for a little to watch the game, but, you know, it ended in a tie. So the Eagles kind of ruined my day.
Yeah. I did see your tweets about your day being ruined.
Yeah, because as I was sitting,
anything? Okay.
Yeah, cake. I had a lovely
mom come down and hang with you. Or?
So my mom and I went to lunch Saturday. Saturday night, two of my friends hosted a like a little rooftop dinner party for me, which was so nice.
Oh.
And then Sunday I went to my favorite place to kind of hang out and watch the game.
Well, since we're feeling gooey about the birthday, it's time to play a little presidential debate bingo. Yes. So here's where we stand here. Now, we're playing bingo. These are squares on a bingo board.
Okay.
Terms that are going to come up or themes or whatever, they're going to come up in tonight's presidential debate. So far, Natalie has I-G-O. She's looking for the B and the N. Tyrone has a B-I-N. So he's looking for the G-O. All right, Nat, you go first.
Supreme Court?
Supreme Court is correct. Supreme Court gives you the N. You're a B away from bingo. Tyrone, chance to stay close.
Russia.
Russia. Ooh. All right, let's see. Russia is not on the first card. Is it on the second card? Let's see. Yes. Yes, it is. Tyrone, B-I-N-G. Oh, my God. There's one letter left.
Might have to.
Who's going to win presidential bingo?
Might have to do rock, paper, scissors.
Frankie in Hatboro, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Frankie.
Yes, hi, Mike. How are you guys?
Good. How you doing?
Well, Mike, for me, I've been an Eagles fan since 1963, and I've been through the good and the bad. But unfortunately, when I got married, I adopted a brother-in-law from San Francisco, and he's let me have it.
Yeah.
And the problem is, he says, they're laughing at us. He says that... If all the 49ers fans went into that stadium for free ticket, they'd rather stay at home. But, they're laughing at us out there. And if you want my opinion, if these Eagles win 6 games, I mean, maybe Natalie could say a prayer to the football gods. Because I love my Eagles. And,
Listen, I guess they could win 6 games. I look at games like at Cleveland. I go, they're not going to win that game. And I know the Saints are in a travel dynamic, but the Saints at the end of the day are a better team. Right. I don't know who they're going to beat to get to six.
But I was afraid of the Bengals. The Eagles do not play well against the AFC, and they don't.
Yeah, but they're shredded now. They have no personnel. They're all banged up. They got a quarterback with a confidence problem. I don't see any kind of light at the end of the tunnel here.
I don't, Mike. But anyway, what Mike, your show in the afternoon is late at the top, all right?
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Frankie. You hang in there.
Right, buddy.
All right, let's go to Henry in Tampa's hanging in. Henry, what's up with Carson Wentz and with you here?
The problem I see last night, there's no lack of communication with Carson Wentz like he had with Frank Wright. I was watching Kansas City game. I went to see Andy Reid went sitting next to Patrick Mahomes and talking to Patrick Mahomes. I don't see Doug doing that or any coaching staff doing that with Carson Wentz.
Well, Carson's getting counseling. I don't know if it, he's being counseled by his best buddy.
Like I said, I want to see Doug to go.
Yeah, I don't know. How's Andy Reid? Like, Andy Reid still calls play. So, like, what is Andy shooting over there quickly? It's like when you got Patrick Mahomes.
The game last night.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes is like what do you have to say to him, though? I mean, the guy's brilliant. So, I don't know if Doug has time to really counsel Carson on the sidelines. Andy can go over and go, dude, you're great. And then walk back to the sidelines, call another play.
Yeah. He doesn't do that, though. Andy talks for a long time with him.
Does he?
In between every series. That's how he coaches.
All right. Well, Henry, I don't know if that's going to do Carson any good. If the head coach goes,
I don't want to see him go to Philadelphia. I don't want him to leave, but they got to do what they got to do.
Yes, they do, Henry. And we this is an ongoing story. So, like I say, he could find it. One of these games, these next three, he beats one of them, and is representative. Let's say next week, I don't think he's snapping back that quickly, but he makes a little progress against the Niners. He comes to Pittsburgh, wins the game in spectacular fashion, looks great, carries that on to the Ravens, where they lose, but he plays well. And then everybody's got a different perspective.
Well, then the focus shifts to some other places where it belongs, like Howie.
Because
if the quarterback's playing well and you lose, well, then now it's clearly the personnel.
Yeah.
And then we look at Howie a lot closer.
Okay.
The coach gets some credit if the quarterback's playing well, then Doug gets credit, so it would shift to Howie.
Yes. I want to ask Sal coming up about Howie also.
Yeah.
That's got to be a topic right now. George on a cell. George, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Mike and crew, thanks for taking my call. I really appreciate it.
What's up, George?
I've been an Eagles fan for a long, long time. Let me tell you, the first quarterback I remember is Norm Snead, and the first coach was Joe Kuharik. So that tells you how far back I go.
Yeah. Well, that's far back.
Unfortunately, until Doug Peterson gives up the reins and gets an offensive coordinator, poor Carson's going to suffer. And that's
the way. That's not going to happen because he reaffirmed his love for calling plays. He loves doing it. It's a really.
And Andy, he's not. And so, he's got to give up something. And secondarily, I agree with you with Nick Foles. I was glad he was here in 2016, 2017, but people got to, they got to give up on him. I mean,
he
was a Saint Nick once.
Listen, here's what's going to happen. I hate to break it to him. He's gonna level off. He had a game where adrenaline took over. He beat a team that's just begging to be beat every week. And then he's going to level off, and they're going to lose a couple games. Then there's going to be talk to Chicago, going back to Trubisky. So I know where this is going. It's going to go poof.
Yeah, I agree. And 2 weeks from now, unfortunately, I graduated from Pitt, so I'm going to have to break out my Lynn Swan jersey.
All right, well, you do that.
Sorry,
that's a violation.
Yeah, that's okay. You went to Pitt.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, well, you're from here, you went to Pitt. What do you care about Lynn Swan? You went 4 years of college, and you adopted the Steelers.
They were winning. They won four Super Bowls.
That's right.
What? Because you went to school there, you became an adopted Pitt Steeler fan. Come on,
Tony Dorsett was a freshman when I was a senior, and we went to the first.
Tony Dorsett didn't go to the Steelers.
No, but I'm just saying.
What are you saying? You're fugazi.
I couldn't follow the Philadelphia teams in those days.
4 years. What was that, your lifetime?
Well, I remember it, unfortunately.
You go back to Joe Kuharik, for crying out loud. Now you're a Steeler fan because you spent 4 years on a campus in the town? Come on, get out. Yeah, get out. I got to dump you on that note. Jeez.
Norm Snead. That was nice.
Root for Pitt.
It's about half an hour in the city of Pittsburgh. Yeah. And he's... his Steeler fear because they won Super Bowls when he was there.
He should root for Pitt University football and basketball, yeah, et cetera, and then root for his hometown. That's
total violation.
Yeah,
come on. All right, it's Tuesdays. And on Tuesdays, we always look forward to chatting with the man who covers the NFL like nobody else for ESPN. And he's brought to us by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, Pennsylvania's number one casino. And his name is Sal Anthony Palantonio. What's up, Salvi?
Don't forget the Nicholas.
Nicholas! I forgot Nick. Say Nick, I forgot.
Yeah, that was my grandfather's name. If I had a son, I would have named him Nick.
All right. Well, let's talk about the Nick that's playing in Chicago. No, let's not talk about him. let's talk about what's up with this squad here. I don't know where to go with
take
you
it,
on this,
take
but
it from
but,
the top. Take
all right,
it from
let,
the top,
let's take it.
Take
it let's take
it from the top.
The top definitely is the quarterback. So let's talk about the quarterback. And despite the fact that he had a couple daring runs and he showed a little heart, it was another bleak Sunday for the man who seems to have a serious confidence problem. And I'm wondering what they're talking about within the ranks of the Eagles.
They're trying to fix it. Trying to show him what he's doing wrong, the footwork issues, aiming the football, not trusting what he sees, not pulling the trigger quick enough. Go through the litany of issues. You can watch it on tape if you care to. You can see it live. It was very obvious to everybody. The rest of the National Football League is enjoying a offensive explosion, a renaissance. After 3 weeks, Michael, more points have been scored in the NFL than any other 3 weeks in NFL history. More touchdown passes have ever been thrown in the first three weeks than in NFL history. And the Eagles are not enjoying that offensive explosion. In fact, they're bystanders. And it's sad. It really is. Because you got a guy who you paid over $100 million. And, you know, there are other issues. I get it. We all get it. Protection issues, wide receiver issues. But a lot of the problems can be traced back to the fact that he is just not accurate. And he's just not as productive as he needs to be.
Sal, here's the biggest fear, that this guy now has turned into Bobby Hoying or Kevin Cobb. And he doesn't. He doesn't have the ability to come back to be a premier quarterback. Oh, what about that?
Well, that's a big fear. I have a couple of bigger ones, and that is I don't understand why the coach is not putting more public pressure on his quarterback. I mean, Andy Reid benched Donovan McNabb. I was at that game in Baltimore when it happened. We were all aghast when it happened in 2008. Not for nothing, what's so special about Carson Wentz? Why, I don't understand why Doug Peterson can't say, hey, the quarterback's got to play better. We all know that. Not when, you know, you ask the question about making a change, you know, you don't want to go there. No, you know, eventually everybody knows you will have to go there if it doesn't improve, right? Am I right about that?
All right, so what are you suggesting he do? A, rip him in public, and B, bench him?
I'm suggesting that he not be so coddling of them. Other quarterbacks have had a lot of more pressure put on them by their head coach. Look at Bruce Arians with Tom Brady 2 weeks ago. Brady's won 6 Super Bowls, for crying out loud. Call him out in the press.
Interesting. So they're afraid to fracture his already wavering confidence, I guess.
I don't know what it is. I'm not going to assign any kind of motivation behind it. All I'm saying is here's what I hear. And I don't see any pressure, extra pressure being applied in this situation when it clearly needs to happen.
In fact, they're going in the opposite direction, Sal. He said he's going to soften things up here to make it easier for him this week.
Yeah, he's going to make it less muddy. Okay, well, that's fine. But by saying I got to make it less muddy, isn't he criticizing him a little bit?
Yeah, he is. He's saying he's not capable of a more sophisticated game plan.
Yeah. So there is a little bit of that. If you read between the lines, I got to make it simpler for him. Cuz, you paid him $100 million. He's the franchise quarterback. I don't think you need to make it simpler. I think he needs to obviously play better. So that's one. The other thing that I think that people have,
and this is just me, and this is your personality too. I played sports with you. I know how you are. If the coach says we're not going for it, doesn't the quarterback say, uno momento, hello, we're going for it? And I've seen quarterbacks actually pull the offense onto the field. You know, and I was wondering where Carson Wentz was in that moment, why he didn't get angry or say, no, let's go for it. Because that's what Nick Foles said to Doug Peterson in the Super Bowl against Bill Belichick. Let's go for it. And those circumstances were a lot more high stakes than beating the Bengals or trying to avoid a tie. I mean, he said, you want to run Philly in the Super Bowl. So, I mean, Carson Wentz needs to go up to him and say, hey, we have a 4th-and-12 play. They all do. Since 2016, the Eagles have run 6 4th-and-12 plays. They've been successful on 2 of them. That means 33%. Not great, but not bad. It's not 0 for 6. So they have a 4th-and-12 play. And that 33% is about what the league is since 2016. The league's at 35%. So it's not an out-of-this-world thing to ask your offense to make it on 4th-and-12. You got it on the play sheet. You got it on the Denny's menu. You got it on the laminated sheet there. There's a 4th-and-12. You practice it. Let's run it. Carson Wentz has got to go up to Doug Peterson and say, let's run 4th-and-12. Philly special, 4th-and-12. Let's run it. And Doug's got to go, all right. They got to show confidence in one another, and they've got to show confidence in the team.
So in other words, you're saying, not only did Doug not have the confidence to send him out to make a play like that, but you're saying that the quarterback may have been okay with not having the pressure of having to make that play.
Let me ask you a question. Having known you for 30-odd years, would you be okay with that?
No.
And you know me for 30-odd years. Would you think I would be okay for that?
No, absolutely not.
You know, we're going to punt. What would happen next?
There would be an explosion. Yeah, so I get it. I get the point is, but see, that doesn't make me feel any better that a quarterback would be willing to. I hear you. But, like, we have to evaluate this guy. And if I had to evaluate him with that context that he would be afraid to not want to make a play, then what do you have?
Yeah, well, I'm actually going through my agreement with 97.5, and it doesn't say anywhere here in paragraph 96 that I have to make Mike Missinelli feel about it.
I'm speaking for the entire fan base. If the entire fan base thinks they have a quarterback who's afraid to go out on a limb and say, let's make a play here, well then, you know, that kind of guts people.
Well, you know, this is not original thinking on my part. I've only heard this from my mailman, the guy who cuts my lawn, the guy who cuts my hair. They all said the same thing. I'm just channeling what they told me.
All right, so where do they go? Listen, it's going to be harder for him to rebound with, they're depleted now. I mean, their skilled players are non-existent. They have a problem at left tackle. The tight end's out. Deshaun's got a hamstring. Like, what's up here? What can possibly happen to improve this team right now?
Yeah. That I don't have an answer for you. You're playing 3 teams in a row that are really tough. And so, you know, you just got to shorten the game. You know, play a little 4 corners. Take the air out of the ball. How many cliches you want me to give you? I mean, why? Those are the answers I got. You got to try to absolutely find a way. You got to go out there and annihilate San Francisco's backup quarterback. Schwartz has just got to blitz off the bus, which he doesn't normally do. Peterson's got to run the ball 60-odd times. They got to go heavy package, keep the Niners off the field. I don't have to remind anybody that the Niners came out last week and destroyed the Giants, and they were in the Super Bowl last year. But they got a backup quarterback, and maybe you find a way to win a game.
All right, 2 last questions here. I'm curious to know what your reaction was when Peterson made the decision to punt. And secondly, how much the GM is kind of hidden in this whole thing. It looks like he has assembled a roster that's not very deep. So how much responsibility does he have for what's going on right now?
Yeah, that's for another. I totally agree. It's got a lot of responsibility. We could go through the whole roster. Sidney Jones, Andre Dillard, those draft picks. You know, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is not going to help you. Is not going to help you, period. So those are all on Howie Roseman. And now you got a guy in Jalen Hurts who lit it up in college. And right now you're basically running him as a decoy. And you're just waiting to make sure that he's available if and when you make a change. What was my reaction? My reaction was, it's like the worst possible thing. And you know, you can go through all the analytics, Mike, right? You can have an analytics team, high paid, one of the best in the league, and they do. You can go through the circumstances of the game. You don't want the Bengals to win. That's not the point. You're trying to light a fire under your football team. You're trying to instill some confidence, to show them that you have confidence, to show the organization, to show people on the sideline. And so it was, to me, all about instilling confidence. And I think Doug Peterson got that. You know, he just got it too late. I think they would have, if they had gone for 4th and 12, I believe they would have made it. I think they would have made it. And we wouldn't be having this conversation. They would have made it. The kid would have made the field goal, and then, you know, I would have called you on Wednesday instead of Tuesday.
All right, listen, I know you have, we didn't get a chance to talk about it, but I know you, on the NFL matchup show, you've got some, so you really get into the teeth of what they're not doing defensively, right?
Yeah, we do. It's on the NFL matchup show this week. We'll get into it big time. But you remember that conversation we had a couple weeks ago where I said, you know, I got two son-in-laws, and one of them wants to be my son-in-law.
Yes.
Well, my daughter eloped.
What? She eloped.
She eloped. They eloped. So now I have three son-in-laws, and we couldn't be happier. And it was all done on the QT. Nobody in the family knew it. They went up to Vermont, and they eloped. My daughter, Sarah, and her now husband, Ben, and we couldn't be happier. He's got a wonderful family. He's a wonderful young man, and we are super happy. So I got three married daughters.
Oh, well, that's congratulations on that. You're the Italian father, the daughter elopes. I'm just curious to know, like, whether the old sound is different than the new sound.
Traumatized. But now I'm happy.
Yeah, all right.
Me off the sidewalk. But, you know, you were the one who foreshadowed the whole thing when I kind of blurted that thing out. So I thought I would come full circle.
Oh, well, that's good.
Show.
Listen, we're glad to hear it, and we're glad that you're okay with it.
Congratulate the
happy couple for me.
Yeah, I will. You know, and they proved to all of us that no matter what the circumstances, love conquers
all.
I took last weekend off. I took the Sunday off, and we had a little dinner party for him. And that's exactly what I said in the toast. Love conquers all.
Oh, beautiful. Sal, I'm impressed. Thanks for coming on, man. We'll talk to you.
All right, brother.
Sal Powell, brought to us by Parks Casino. Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder what that phone call was like.
Well, especially this year, I have a lot of friends who are trying to manage weddings during the pandemic. Yeah. And eloping just seems like the most convenient, easy way to get it done.
Yeah, I have no problem. I'm not judgmental. I'm just curious. I've known Sal for a really long time. He's an Italian father with daughters.
Yeah, I can't.
And I bet. I wonder what the phone call he picks up. Dad, let you know we love.
We're married.
Excuse me?
What would you do if Kira
I wouldn't have.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't at all. So, whatever. Let's take a break. We'll come back after this. Come down to home stretch. Mike Missinelli Show.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
75 The Fanatic. Time for you to sound off.
You got a beef with me? What is it? The hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedic Same Day Joint Replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com. Let's keep going. Sound off.
All righty, it's time for Sound Off. 610-771-9705 is the Sound Off line. We got so many this week. We had to compartmentalize them, right? Did we have some leftovers from yesterday? Did we have carryover today?
Yeah, we got leftovers, and then we got... this is unprecedented.
It is unprecedented. People are going nuts. So let's get right to it. Here's Sound Off.
So after watching two real football teams play last night with real players, real personnel, and real coaching, I've set my over-under on Eagles wins this year at 2. And that might be stretching.
Well, two gets him in that first pick territory, so that would be really interesting. And we'll see what they would do there. They trade out.
No, they draft the quarterback.
They would. They draft Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, no choice.
They'd over-recruit the position.
Yep. They're a quarterback factory.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
I like any judgment on a violation. I've decided I've got to start watching and following another football team, at least for this season. Someone inoffensive, non-conference. I'm thinking the Buffalo Bills because they're doing good now. Is that cool?
No, you got to suffer with the rest of the people. It's all about suffering because then, you know, years later, when they actually have management and knows what the hell they're doing, then you'll be rewarded for your suffering.
The Eagles are a 3 or 4 win team if you look at their roster, their injuries, and the remaining schedule. You can find 3 or 4 wins. So that's a top 3 pick. If Trevor Lawrence is there, do you pick him, go ahead with Hurts, or stay with Wentz?
I would think that Trevor Lawrence would be very coveted at a point where you probably can't pass him up. And then we just talked about it, and you rearrange the deck a little bit. Maybe start trading for assets. But Tyrone, you got them winning 7 games. So just forget about it. Just take it out of your mind that they're going to be in there.
7-8-1, middle of the draft.
7-8-1.
As I suspected, new diet, new exercise program, learn the guitar, check the Phillies off the box, and check the Eagles off the box. If you were the coach, but 13 in overtime that could result in a tie, would you punt? Or would you give little kicky boy a shot at a 64-yard field goal?
I would do two things other than what they did. I would either let the kid try to kick it, or I'd try to convert the first down. And trying to convert the first down is probably the sounder thing to do because you leave the ball right where it is if it's incomplete, and it's harder for that team to come down and score, so you really don't lose anything.
The time has come. Elton Brand wants to save his job and take over the city of Philadelphia right now. This is the perfect opportunity. Doc Rivers is not returning as head coach of the Los Angeles Clippers. He should now be the number one target for our Philadelphia 76ers.
I don't know. He might be. Today they interviewed Lou, right? Lou's in town.
Yeah. That's what the reports are.
You think Lou's... you think he's going to a restaurant tonight, something?
Probably.
No, probably in and out because he's probably going to interview for the Clippers job, too.
He might stick around, have a little...
Maybe he'll grab a slice of pizza.
You know. He might. And on Friday, it goes up to 50% capacity. Helps the businesses. Yeah, but, well, yeah, he might have
a 25%er tonight, probably.
Yeah, he could be. Yeah. Could be.
Someone explain to me how Matt Clintock
has a job. He had to learn his GM skills from the same dude who traded Moses Malone for Jeff Rulin and Brad Daugherty, the number one pick, for Roy Hinson. He had to have read that book for them guys. He is horrible. Terrible.
Wait a minute. He trained under who?
The guys who made the bad Sixers trade. Cats.
Cats?
Yeah, he's saying, wasn't it Harold Katz who made the bad Sixers? Who did the Daugherty trade?
Yeah, it was Harold Katz.
He said he studied that book.
Oh, he studied the book.
I thought he said
he studied under.
No, he said
book. Okay, I misheard him.
So Jason Peters wasn't hurt on Sunday. He was tired and sweating because of too human. That's the reason. He was tired. Well, nice knowing you, JP.
Now, I think they did him a disservice by saying that. He probably got kicked in the calf because he was limping on that, or he had a cramp because it was hot out there. It should have been more explained, and he just begged out because it was hot.
And he played 89 snaps,
which is much more
than most football games.
That could have been a passive-aggressive criticism, Jason Peters.
Yeah, I don't like the way
by the head coach. That wasn't right.
Mm-mm.
I just like to know, when the Eagles win Sunday night, they come 1-2-1. And when Dallas loses to Cleveland, and when Washington loses to whoever they're playing, and the Eagles are in first place, and when Wentz plays a magical game and plays great, or what's everybody going to be doing then?
Oh, my God. A pro Wentz call before we got a pro Foles call on this sound off? That's a shock.
Help wanted. City of Philadelphia looking for professional sports athletes. We overpay, and you're welcome to underachieve. Have you noticed that pattern?
Yeah, I've noticed a lot of it. who else would be in that category that we overpay and underachieve? The only first one that comes to mind is Nnamdi Asamoah.
He's the biggest one.
Yeah, because he got a ton of dough.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz playing bad is disheartening. Doug Peterson coaching bad is disheartening. You know what's really frustrating? Is that Bob is somewhere laughing his ass off. And that really pisses me off.
You think Five's laughing?
Yeah.
Because people are going to say, oh, this guy's going to be the best quarterback in franchise history. And Five didn't like that, so now he's sitting back snickering. Yeah, he's probably snickering. All right, close it down.
That's the best of the best today of Sound Off. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedics same-day joint replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com.
Got enough beef?
I don't like
what are you?
Because I don't like
then brain. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your Sound Off gets up.
All right, that was Sound Off. Stay tuned. New show, debut show of Beers with Bob. Bob Cooney with Andrew Salchunas every Tuesday from 6 to 7. They'll take a look at this past weekend's game. They'll look ahead to the next game. So kick back, tune in, check out Beers with Bob starting tonight at 6. Then Devon Givens follows that on the radio on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Stay tuned for American Ninja Warrior. I think I'm in that. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.